live with episode 30 of the Gold Card Podcast. World's main event. It's here. We've been waiting all year for this, guys.
Let's go, baby.
Let me first introduce who we have with us tonight, because I totally forgot to. I am Vince Colati at Gelati LOL. We have John George at the Esports Plug.
How we doing, everybody?
Featured writer over at Oracle's Elixir, by the way. Outstanding stuff.
Ooh, yes.
We have Chris Chung at Prime Time.
Good evening, folks. Welcome joining us live. For those who are listening later, we now have a live video.
That's right. And eventually, hopefully Calvin joins us later on, but we have been unable to contact him, so we'll find out. So, we're done the play-ins. We had the last two matches of the play-in knockout stage this morning. I was memeing the what's it called that, like, all weekend long. I was like, oh, it's the knockouts to the play-in to the knockouts to the play-in to the knockouts, right? So we had the last knockout stages for the play-in stage. We have our final groups, finally. We've been theorizing about this. There were really only two possibilities, as far as I was concerned, even going into this tournament. For who would be drawn where, because I thought all the one seeds were going to get out of the knockout. I thought there was an outside chance Icarus got it done this morning.
The only thing that happened differently from my predictions was I expected the winner of Loki and Hong Kong Attitude to lose to whoever they played, no matter who it was.
Yeah.
Icarus. And I think they would have if it was Royal Youth or the Unicorns of Love. I think Hong Kong Attitude would have lost to either of those.
That series was weird because it wasn't exactly right, so we might as well dive into it. The first thing we're going to go over is I just want to recap the whole play-in stage, just in general. And I had a couple topics I wanted to go into, but I think we all kind of communicated that we thought the one seeds were probably going to get out, and the one seeds were probably going to get in as long as they didn't draw like one of the good two seeds. They were like two good two seeds, right? Royal and Unicorns. It turns out, I don't know if you guys thought this, and I'll pitch this to you, but I thought Icarus looked, I know they were hyped up, but I thought Icarus actually looked better than I personally thought they were going to look. I thought Flamengo looked a little better than I thought they were going to look. Flamengo brought the energy. Like, the Brazilian teams always bring the energy, man. I love it. Like, Brazil's got a certain swagger that I think all the wildcard region, the CIS has this too. Like, those two regions, they just have a certain gusto, I guess, is the best way to put it. They just get it. Like, they're like, yo, back's against the wall, let's go. We're bringing the energy, right? And they always do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not good, but, like, they always bring the energy. And then, who else? Mammoth. To me, Mammoth was the big surprise. They looked pretty good.
I would say I thought the gap between Damwon, Clutch, Splice, and all the other teams was going to be bigger than it was. It was still definitely there, but I thought the wild card teams impressed me. I really thought the wild card teams were just getting squashed this year. Like, not even close, just 10,000 gold leads at 20 minutes at almost every game. I thought they were just going to get destroyed.
Yeah, Chris, what do you think? Like, did you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the team that surprisingly y'all talked about it and understanding the expectations, understanding their style. But DFM actually did impress me in the way they played and the plan. You see it unfolding, and there was some good League of Legends going on. Unfortunately, it is the talent gap that always holds them behind, but it might be a good sign for the LJL.
Yeah, I kind of said that going in. Like, I was a little higher on DFM than I think you guys were. Not that you were, like, low on them necessarily, but, like, I was definitely, as far as everywhere I read on Twitter, like, I think I was probably the highest person on DFM in this whole tournament, besides, like, maybe the LGL casters or something, but, like.
Yeah, I had them coming third in their group, so I thought they were not going to make the knockout.
It's kind of weird. I had them legitimately, if I had to, like, power rank the entire playing stage, I had them, like, third or fourth. Like, I thought, like, Royal and UOL were that good, but I had them third or fourth, only because at this level. And I'll just, like, briefly explain, like, why I thought that. But, like, to me, it was I only had them there because at this level, and you guys saw this in the best of fives today, just being smart will get you a certain amount far against the wildcard teams. And they are. I actually still posit that they're probably even – I think they have better macro than Unicorns and Royal. And they just don't have the players to exercise that. But
yeah,
I don't know, so I was a little higher on them. So I wasn't personally, I wasn't surprised, but I know a lot of people were. I think Mammoth were the biggest. Like Chris, what did you think of Mammoth? Because
Mammoth was they put up more of a fight than I thought. I thought they were gonna lay down. Oceania, they showed up well in the first day, and go Australians. I mean, I didn't think much about them coming in.
That was kind of everywhere, right? Because like Mega, I don't think anybody expected Mega to put up a fight. And Mega put up a reasonable fight in their group.
I thought Mega was going to put up a fight just in game, not like knowing how those guys play. It turns out like the experience matters, and yep. maybe we didn't put enough emphasis on that. But like when you have guys that have been to like three or four world championships that or like international events like this, that adds up. And
I would say one other thing I learned in the play-in stage, or I noticed in the play-in stage, was individual matchups made a much bigger deal than in normal games that we're used to seeing. Like the individual skill difference between one team's top laner and the other team's top laner made a much bigger difference than they usually do in your average league games, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, we saw what's his name, the top laner for Mammoth. Like he was the carry. Like that
Fudge.
Was yeah, Fudge was yeah. It was,
yeah, so, people were like dumpstering each other in lane in like a way that I'm not used to seeing in the LCK or LPL or anything like that. Like straight dumpstering, two solo kills and 40 farm up or whatever at 10 minutes. Like people were just dumpstering each other, so you could really see where the talent gaps were more than normal.
I think just like kind of put a cap on like the general thing before we go into like specific stuff. But like I think one of the things you need to remember about the difference between like the major regions and wildcard is just like the level of consistency and the level of like overall macro play to me is the biggest difference. And yeah, like some of these teams can look good in a game, like in a single game. You saw like over a best of five, it's a lot harder, right? It took an innumerable amount of throws by both Unicorns and Splice today for that series to go that long. But like that's to me the biggest difference, right? And you can have some of these individual players that have strong performances, but the teams are going to struggle to be consistent because there's certain fundamentals that are just lacking. And yeah, they're going to take a game. I mean, to me, the clutch series was like the perfect illustration of exactly how I think of these, like these kind of events, like major versus minor regions like this. This is exactly how I think about it. Clutch, they're not as inconsistent as they were in spring. But they're, relatively speaking, compared to the teams in this tournament, a wildly inconsistent team, right?
Yeah.
And you saw, like, once the best of five hit, like, it was kind of a weird game one, and then once they made the adjustments, it was not even close. Just not even close. They made the adjustments in probably in the middle of that game one. And that was it. Like, so, I don't know. Any particular players that impressed you? We talked about teams that impressed you. Particular players that impressed you?
I mean, I think No Man's on UOL was somebody that everybody was kind of impressed by. I was kind of impressed that BRTT seemed like he still had it. Like, I mean, he's been man. A lot of times when you see a guy that's been around for like 5 years in a minor region, and you can see this on some other teams in the play-ins, they're making it on their name and their teammates are making it on their skill. Like that happens a lot. It happens in the minor regions a lot. This guy's been around for a long time. He's a legend in the scene, so we'll pick him up, and then we'll surround him with actually really talented guys. So I was kind of happy to see BRTT get to pop off a little bit, since he actually played very well. And I was kind of expecting him to be an over-the-hill, like, let-my-teammates-carry-me type guy this tournament.
Yeah, so. I found it interesting. Like, did you see the post-game interview they did with him?
I didn't.
So in the post-game interview, he actually talked about his age, because I think he's like 28, I think, now. Which is, like, by League of Legends standards, like, ancient.
Old.
That's ancient. Yeah, like, yeah. I do think, and somebody, one of the analysts commented on it, that, like, they think you're going to start seeing that, like, because as mechanically demanding as it is and as many hours you have to put in, it is, I would argue League is more of a mental game than, like, a mechanical game. Like, it's more of a mental game than something like StarCraft or Counter-Strike, right?
I always argued that the reason that professional gamers in general are young is because that's the only time in your life previously to now that you can afford to put that much time into the game.
Yes.
Because it was not a reasonable job.
It wasn't a living. It wasn't a living you could make.
You couldn't be 20 years old and grinding out league for 15 hours a day when you're in Diamond, because it's not a reasonable profession to go into.
There were now that it 50 is, people in the universe that could do that. Like,
yeah, and now that it is like a real profession with real money, I think you will start seeing older players start creeping in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we see it in Dota, and even in Dota, it's like, well, Dota's a lot more volatile than League is because they don't have, like, they have leagues, but, like, it's not as structured and funded by, like Riot funds the LCS, like, and then the teams also pay them a salary, and then they also get, like, sponsorships or whatever, right? In Dota, it's a lot more like playing professional poker, where it's win a tournament or bust, right? Like, it's really top-loaded, like, it's super top-heavy. So, if you ever get a chance to, and it's, like, brief aside, but, like, if you guys ever get a chance to watch Free to Play, it's a documentary. It's a free documentary. I think it's on YouTube. About the international and professional Dota, and how a lot of these guys, like, they don't have, like, that structured salary, so they're all in.
Yeah, like, they need to win the international.
Yeah, it's a different scene. It's a different level of pressure. But we even see people in Dota that are in there. We fear. There's a number of the Asian pros that are in their, like, late 20s, early 30s. So I do think we're going to start seeing it. But, yeah, I agree. It was really cool seeing BRTT. Yeah, he was good in this group stage. Like,
yeah.
I think Flamengo's overall flaws as a team were, like, the reason that they kind of fell down. But he was good. And it's fun to see, because he's a fun personality. Like, he's a fun player to watch. He's a lot like Dwayne B, where it's just, like, fearless leader, got a lot of swagger. It's fun to see him doing well.
And Brazil, I mean, if anybody follows other esports, like, in Counter-Strike in particular, the Brazilian fans are ravenous.
Oh, no, dude, the Brazilian fans, they had, I think it was one IEM tournament in Brazil, and it was batshit crazy. Yeah, like, it was an IEM tournament with, like, nobody there. Like, nobody, like, major, like, there were major teams there, but, like, nobody, like, that huge. And they were just nuts. The Brazilian fans are absolutely crazy. Like, it's good to see them.
Thorin says all the time that, like, you can't even talk trash about Brazilian players on Twitter or anything because you just get mobbed by people calling you, like, all the worst names in the history of the world if you mention anything bad about, like, Cold Zera or any of those guys. So, yeah, shout out in some ways to Brazilian fans.
So, Chris, was there, like, a certain player that surprised you or that you – I mean – honestly, like, it could be someone that, like, disappointed you, too. And I'll put this to you, too, John. Like, was there somebody that let you down or didn't exceed expectations for you?
That's tough to say. Like, I did expect Icarus to win today, and that was a little bit of a letdown. And I also expected Low-Key to beat Hong Kong Attitude. Like, I've seen some things from Hong Kong Attitude that I think they have some real strengths, but they also have some things that seem really exploitable. And I didn't really see teams pressuring their, like, the things about them that I thought were exploitable.
Right.
Like, after we saw them play two games in a row against Mega, where they got dumpstered in the early game by Mega, no one really said, like, let's all in the early game and just smash these guys. Like, everyone, like, scaled with them in a lot of these games, and that was how they were beating people. I would have liked to see somebody take, like, a Lucian composition into them, or try to get a Draven composition or something like that, and really say, like, beat us in the early game, because it didn't seem like they were really capable of doing that. So,
I don't have a particular player in mind, but Hong Kong was a very interesting case study, because we know that if they lose control of the early game, that they would probably lose. But there were one or two spots, I think the one that I probably lost the most money on, that spot, where they actually did show up well in the early game.
Yeah.
I think it was against Low-Key, or if not,
I think it was the first game against Low-Key, right?
No, it was like, oh my gosh,
in the early game.
It just made me question, well, are they really bad, or have they adapted? And then they default back to what they know to do. And then this morning, their first game against Icarus, I think they fell behind 2-0, 0-2, and then they really just move the game up, where they were gotten a lot more of the advantage. So I was like, okay, so is this the new style? Are they learning to adapt? So there were some things that I could see that helped them go over the hurdle. Otherwise, they would have gotten killed by Icarus, I think, if they didn't make the adaptation.
Yeah, I thought that series was interesting to me more from a drafting standpoint than it was from, like, a play standpoint. I actually thought so. Kind of an unpopular opinion, I guess, but game four, if you look at the team compositions, that game was literally over in draft.
Yeah.
Like, as far as I was concerned. Like, there was not a universe where HK were losing that game. There just wasn't. Like, I love that draft so much, and I, I w- it w- before going into game four, I was like, they need to put the jungler on an engaged champion because that's what they lacked in game three. Like someone proactive, someone simple, Gragas, Sejuani. Like, and the cast talked about this too. And they put him on Skarner. I was like, okay, that's good. But then like that the Veigar last pick was, I thought, brilliant. I thought they executed it terribly. But like in draft, I was like, this is over. And to me, like this more, that was like the perfect emphasis of what, like the wildcard regions to me. Like I give props to Issarus because Issarus found their windows in that game. They did. Like they could have gotten shut out in that game and they didn't. Like they found their windows. But that was a perfect illustration to me of like why these teams are in the play-in stage, right? Because when you have a tremendous draft advantage like that, you should just ice it. It should just be game over. If you're a major region team, that's game over in that kind of situation. As long as you can execute, if you can execute like 6 out of 10 level execution, you've got that. The problem is we're seeing like 2 out of 10 execution level from these teams, right? So, yeah. And that was kind of like a big picture, like overarching topic for me across the whole playing stage was like, yeah, it's fun. The playing stage is really fun because you get to see weird stuff. You get to see the styles of these regions. You get to see, I always explain it as college football, right? Like this is the difference between college football and pro football, right? Like if you want the drama and the clown fiesta, yeah, like watch college football because you could get something crazy. You know, absolutely. Like, routine stuff is not routine anymore, right? But it's kind of the reason we see that. So, like, yeah, that was kind of, like, the big picture thing I wanted to give everyone to take away from this was, like, everybody cool the Jets on this. Just because they were exciting games to watch doesn't mean it was necessarily high level. Although I did think some of the drafts were pretty creative and cool. Because these teams are putting everything on the table, which is part of what's fun to watch, right? Any other players that impressed? I know I was really impressed by Artifact. He was excellent.
Oh yes, he was very good. And the stats, you know, I did a lot of stats research for DFS and stuff, and he stood out huge stats wise. He was a guy that if you were ever going to play them in DFS, he had to be in your stack because he was averaged so many more points than his teammates.
Yeah, he was exceptional. He was exceptional, and I thought he was really good. I thought. Both the carries from DFM were really good. Yutapon and the mid laner.
Saros
were really good. I thought Seiya was pretty good. I think No Man's might have been the best player in the whole playing stage, but I think everybody kind of knew that going in. Is it surprising to anyone else that he doesn't have an LEC job?
It's a little bit weird. You could still see it. I mean, it's that's a region that's going to get poached by the LEC, you know?
Yeah, it has in the past, too. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people thought he was good. I thought Nanacek was really, really good. The jungler for you.
Nanacek.
He was kind of feast or famine, but, like, when you're playing against a better team than you, you got to kind of take risks, and I like that they identified that.
And maybe Vitality needs him.
Did anybody get scared at all by Damwon not just stomping everyone that they played?
We should talk about this because I've gone off on Twitter about this. If people don't understand, I think people are underrating or underrepresenting just how disrespectful Damwon was in this tournament. Kleptomancy in both solo lanes almost every game. Regardless of matchup.
Gosh, that's right.
Regardless of matchup. And, like, yeah, maybe by the end of this tournament, maybe there's some universe where by the end of this tournament, Kleptomancy solo lane is, like, the main thing, right? And they were ahead of the curve and blah, 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 right? Kleptomancy, you know, in both solo lanes, regardless of matchup, is not a thing you can do. It's just not, right? Disrespect number one. Disrespect number two, blind picking champions that are hard countered. I know it's Nogri's Vladimir. I know he's probably the best Vladimir I've ever seen. I don't care if you're the best Vladimir you've ever seen. There's certain matchups you just can't win. Like, just can't win and can, like, manage and scale, but can't win and, like, it's a detriment and you're going to lose the game, right? Like, there's certain champions where it's like, okay, like, he's going to get behind early, but he'll be okay, right? Vlad can sort of be that way, but not when you draft the way they were doing it. They were like, all in, like, full disrespect drafting. Like, absolutely no respect for their opposition whatsoever, right? And then you watch them playing, and it's like, oh, yeah, they're, like, aggressively trading in lane with Kleptomancy. Like, they're not even, like, just...
I'm glad that this is how you responded to this question. Because I totally agree with you, and that's why I brought it up, is I saw some people, like, on Twitter and on Reddit and stuff being like, see, Damwon's not even that good. Like, they're not even dumpstering these teams. Like, they're not even getting out of groups. I never was even remotely worried about Damwon at any point in this. I was just like, yeah, they're just basically trolling and they're stomping these teams.
Damwon are the Korean equivalent of Invictus Gaming. Not stylistically, but, like, just in, like, their attitude. Damwon are... I don't know if you guys remember this, but, like, if you go back to Season 4, Samsung White.
Yeah.
Samsung White were a tremendously disrespectful team. Like, zero respect for their opposition. Like, I'm going to stomp you. Imp, literally, in interviews, just talking shit on people. Like, Samsung White were G2 before G2. Right? Like, we know G2 talks all sorts of trash, right? But, like, I don't know if you guys remember, this was Imp's heyday, right? Before Imp was, like, the trash can that he is now. But, like, this was Imp's heyday. Calvin's not here to defend him, so I'm going to go off, right? So, Imp literally was, like, going on interviews, like, yeah, these people are shit. Like, I have no, like, I have just no respect for these people. Like, it's like, yeah, it's like, I'm going to blind pick Twitch because, like, nobody's going to do anything about it. Deal with it, right? Like that kind of thing, right? And Damwon, as far as I'm concerned, like, I was concerned, like, they talked about it on the cast, but, like, this was a European vacation for them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Yeah.
I'll give some, like, I want to give credit to Loki, because, like, that game one cheese was pretty sweet. Like, that was cool. But, to me, so you could look at this two ways. One, you could be like, oh, man, Damwon's lack of preparation is really concerning. Okay. I can't convince you otherwise, right? You could say, okay, their lack of preparation. I find your lack of prep disturbing, right? Like that's what you could say. Okay, cool. That's fine. That's something that I would harp on teams in the regular season for, but, like, as far as I was concerned, they were just punting this. Like, they didn't care. They were like, okay, we're just going to win regardless. We can play whatever, right?
Yeah, I wasn't worried at all about Damwon.
And so you could say that, or you could look at it and be like, the fact that they didn't prepare is, like, confirmation that they didn't give a shit about this. Like, they weren't prepared. Like, the fact that they did... If you looked at... I watched... three series for Loki and, like, a regular season game, and that was it. Like, I don't have that much exposure to the VCS this year, right? And I'll admit that. Like, I haven't watched all the VCS games. I haven't followed up on the smaller regions as much this year. But I watched that many things. Like, I watched a total of maybe 12 games of them, and I saw this. This is the thing that they do. If you looked even a little bit, you would have seen this, which means they didn't look at all. They had no interest in it whatsoever. And they were like, yeah, whatever, we got you. By the way, they still almost won that game, if people remember this.
Yes.
They had no business winning that game. They had a Tristana that was, what, 8K to 3,500 at one point in the top lane? Top lane! They had like a 4K gold lead in the top lane. That's ridiculous. How do you lose with that?
This is the lane... No. This was the lane swap.
Yeah, this was the lane swap game.
Loki has Tristana, and she was super fed.
Yeah, how do you lose that game? Like, I don't, and they almost did, which is another issue.
They gave up 15 turret plates before. Oh my god!
Which is another issue I have, by the way, and I've ranted on Twitter. I won't go too much into it on this podcast, but, like, learn how to close a game. Just in general, like, every team in the play-in, learn how to close a game, and maybe I'll give you some more respect to the play-in teams next year. Period. That's it. Show me that you can methodically close a game out, because none of these teams could do it. Not one of them. Including Splice, by the way, which is concerning for them, because that's not something that they struggle with during the year.
Splice might be the number one loser from this group stage as far as, like, opinion of them.
Yeah, same.
I think I didn't lose that much. A lot of people were really shitting on Clutch, and I didn't even really lose that much, like, faith in Clutch throughout this thing. I thought UOL played pretty well against them. I thought they made a couple mistakes in the group stage. I was not really that worried about them not making the playoffs. And then I was not worried about them winning today at all. And I don't know. I didn't lose that much. I felt like Clutch did what I kind of expected Clutch to do. I didn't think they would go undefeated and stomp everyone. I expected them to lose at least a game or two. They did. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know how much more. Do you guys have Chris? You put a good question up on Twitter, because I'll put this in there. Like, and I'll put this to you first. Do we think that from what we've seen this group stage, do we think the gap between the regions has closed at all, or was this just, like, variance? Like, was this just dice rolling?
I lean to the variance side. I think if we replayed this group stage and put the over under for how many games the North American, European, and Korean team loses at the number that they lost this time, I would take the under. Absolutely. I would expect them to lose significantly less than they did this time on average.
Chris, what about you? Do you think the gap closed? Because I think there's this public perception that, and this is one of the things I know Jonathan Yee and Gumiho and a bunch of other people have been talking about, like about the LMS specifically on Twitter, but like this is how a lot of these there's this perception that it's not that big of a gap. Like it's a clearly acknowledged gap, right? But I think people see some wins and they get excited, and I think it's really important to differentiate between getting excited at a couple upsets because it's fun to watch, it's entertaining. Yeah. So when it's entertaining, you want to get emotionally invested in these teams, right? And there's a psychological factor at hand here where I think it's important to remove yourself from that and look at this and be like, okay, how often is this really going to happen? Like that's all I'm saying, and I don't mean to, like, we talked about this a little before the cast. Like, I don't mean to completely dumpster on any of these regions. Like, a lot of these teams clearly won their regions. Some of them didn't, by the way. notable, because...
Yeah.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, my thoughts on this is maybe it's the framing, how we framed it, because it sounds like coming into this year's more than past Worlds, we expect the favorites to be heavily favored, more heavily than maybe in the past. And we saw maybe it's a similar amount of upsets that you had in the past. So maybe nothing really changed at all. It's probably our expectation coming in, thinking, oh, these top tier seeds, the Splice shouldn't be dropping any games, or Damwon shouldn't be, which they didn't, but until they got to the playoff. But Clutch Gaming should have an easy-ish time. Well, which, you know, they just fell flat on their face in the first day. Group C, we had zero expectation of who would win.
Accurate.
This was the first year that I considered the LMS another wildcard region.
Yes, same.
Like when I was predicting their strength, like I didn't view them the same way I viewed Clutch and Splice and Damwon.
Well, this not true to me. To me, I kind of felt that way last year about the LMS.
For me, this was the first year where I was like, I think this is just another Vietnam or, you know, one of these regions.
Yeah, like maybe they're a little better, but like if there was like a break point, they definitely crossed the break point, like downward, I think, like just over. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to get to see J Team and AHQ, which I do think are definitely better than Hong Kong Attitude. I think both.
There's a
huge
difference between J Team and the other two. When you look at like how they performed in their own league, J Team was like,
ignore the records, by the way, like, because the records are going to look a little bit close, but like ignore the records, like watch the gameplay. J Team's definitely the best team. Like,
well, yeah, J Team was far and away the best team in the LMS, even records wise.
Yeah, like they remind me a lot of Liquid, where it's like they're not perfect, and like I don't know if they like take games off or what, but like they're like pretty clearly the best team.
Like, for anyone that hasn't looked at this, J Team was 12-0 in the LMS this season, and the second place team, HQ, was 7-5. So they're like a 50-50 team that came second. J Team was undefeated. Yeah. So I'm expecting a lot more from J Team than I am from anybody else that came out of the LMS.
Yeah, Fofo's a monster, by the way. We're going to talk about him later. So I think, Chris, you make a really good point. Like, I think framing the conversation is really important because you have all these people talking about this from different perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. You have people that are invested in these regions, whether it's their casters or fans of the region, what have you. You have people that are invested in these regions. You have people that know absolutely nothing about these regions, just tune in for Worlds, and they see, okay, like, Unicorns of Love beat an LEC team. Oh, man, they must be pretty good. Yeah, and they are pretty good. There's still a pretty huge difference, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's just important to know that this wasn't, like, completely wild and crazy, right? This wasn't a complete, like, surprise or anything. But I think, in general, this was toward the higher end of or toward the lower end of likelihood, like, variance. Like, if you rolled a die, if you rolled, like, a 100-sided die, I think this was, like, in the bottom, like, 30th percentile, like for, like, what happened, right? It was like the bottom third of likely outcomes, like the amount of upsets that happened in this.
Yeah, I think on average Clutch would lose one less game and everything else would be about right. Maybe Splice loses the one less game, too. Yeah.
But I also think, like, again, like, just going back to, like, the framing conversation, because that's a really good way you put it, Chris, is just remember that this is... It's a 4-6 game sample size. And it's part of the issue I have with this, but, like, we could talk formatting. That could be a whole other podcast, honestly. But, like, just remember that these teams played 9 calendar months, and you're seeing 4 games.
Yeah.
Don't draw all of your conclusions from the 4 games you saw. And that bodes, like, in positive and negative, right? Don't say, oh, man, you know, Splice is bad because they pointed 2 games to Unicorn. In all likelihood, I think if you played that series 10 times, they're going to 3-0 or 3-1 that series probably 9 times. We got to see a 3-2 today because neither of these teams know how to close for shit. Which is a different topic.
This is definitely not classic Splice.
Yeah. That was the theme of the wildcard region. It's like nobody knows how to close and nobody knows how to take a Baron. I'm not going to bother going into that because we've already spent enough time on this, but like, dude, I'm not. We already had a long Twitter conversation about the Lyra Smite.
Oh, yeah.
And we could have another long conversation about why all these teams today just do not know how to take a Baron. I would direct people to Zing the Lee's article on how to take the Baron buff in League of Legends, which I think, by the way, this shout out to Zing. It's the best meme response to anything ever. And it's not even a meme response because it's like mostly serious, too. It's like, I literally wrote an article on this. Here you go. And that's it. You don't need to say anything else. I had one more note. I don't know if you guys agree with this, but E-Jim, the Oceanic caster, outstanding. I know people were trying to like petition Atlas to get him in the LCK. God, I hope that comes true because he's outstanding. And I think people that haven't... I didn't watch that much Oceania, but like people that haven't experienced him, this was like their first experience with him, like this tournament. He's great. He's one of the best color casters in the business. I tweeted out about this today. And
what? Are you guys telling me you wouldn't rather just see LS and Monte Cristo every game?
I would.
What?
Dude, listen, I would love to see Monty back. Don't you talk shit.
I don't want to see either.
We're
one
not.
Of those
listen,
guys
listen,
ever again.
Listen. We're going to take an off season podcast to talk about LS, okay? We're going to take an off season podcast to talk about LS because people have a lot of strong feelings about that. I just want to express that I thought the casting talent overall did a tremendous job in the playing stage.
Totally agree.
And I know people, myself included, were kind of giving them shit for me specifically. I was like, why are they riding Isurus so hard? Like, call it super team. Regardless of that, you need to create hype for this kind of thing, and they did a really good job with it. And I think it was pretty good. It wasn't too artificial. That was the only artificial thing that I kind of didn't like. But anything else on playing stage?
I thought overall the talent was very good. I was a little bit annoyed with I felt like there was some real like kind of bias in some of the 100%. Series. But other like I thought that their ability to cast was very good.
Chris, yeah. any closing
they,
thoughts?
They really.
Morning?
Yeah, they really broke down the games well. So shout out to the casters. I think this is just has been entertaining. Nothing going chalky, which is always detrimental to my bankroll, but doesn't matter. I enjoyed it. So I guess I paid for it. Looking forward to how these teams play. I don't know how many will survive the group stage, but we are going to be talking about them.
Yeah, I think it was an entertaining group. It was an entertaining playing stage. I think more entertaining than years past, but... yeah, I'd say check the hype at the door. It was entertaining though. Okay, so that's playing stage. We spent a long time on it, but that's okay because there was a lot that happened. It was interesting. It was way more
world, maybe.
To be honest with you, I the playing stage was more. I don't want to say impactful, but like there was more events. Like it was more eventful than I thought it was going to be. So I felt, and there was a lot of like misconceptions that I thought we needed to debunk and talk about. So I'm glad we took the time to go over that. So. We have our groups now. Let's just go. I want to break each group down. Any preference on which? I know I put them in ABCD order. Let's go backwards.
Okay, yeah, that works.
Let's go backwards. Let's start with Group D. Group D is going to be Team Liquid, AHQ, Invictus, and Damwon. I'm just going to start off and say it. I don't want to say Liquid got unlucky last year, but if going into the groups last year, Liquid looked like they were lucky, and then it turned out that they were like unlucky because RNG and Gen G shit the bed, and Cloud9 kind of, I don't want to say lucked out because they earned it. I gotta try to remove my Cloud9 bias. this year, I think it's a little harder for them. So really, we have this group's interesting to me because it's four. I don't want to say, not wild card like wild card region, but I think it's like four wild card teams, right? Like any of these teams performing at their peak are a top eight team. Any of these teams, Invictus and Damwon, in my opinion, performing at their peak are tournament winners.
I got a question for you for this group. Yeah. With what you're talking about, who is the most likely team to get out of this group?
To me, it's Damwon.
Chris, what do you think?
Let me see.
I like this question.
This is a tough one.
This is a great way to frame it. We're in Group D. Liquid Age.
Yeah, I know. Liquid Age, Invictus. Oh, man.
Who's the most likely to get out?
Today? Right now? Yeah, I would. I want to say Invictus. I don't believe in them. Like, I didn't believe how they ended it, but the way they hopefully come together, I think at the least they'll come out of group. So if I were to put money on this, I think it's IG.
I love the way you frame this because that's this group, right? Like, that's it. And maybe we're not giving enough respect. Is AHQ going to win a game in this series?
Yes, they're going to win at least the game, but they're not a contender to get out of the group.
Who are they going to win a game against?
Invictus, probably.
Yeah, I was going to say the same
Knowing thing. Invictus, it will be 100% Invictus. Like,
it might take a game from Team Liquid.
Yeah, this is... I think people... I know people are like talking about this group a little bit. Like, this group's like wildly interesting to me. I think this is the most interesting group. Not like... In terms of the outcome, it's the most interesting group to me.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting group. And especially because I agree with you, Gelati. I think Damwon is the most likely to get out of this group. I think it's a question of whether Team Liquid gets out or Invictus gets out.
Yeah, like,
and at the same time, Damwon could completely fall on their face, and it could be Invictus and Liquid to get out of this group. But I think Damwon's the most likely by a hair.
Yeah, I think, to me, it's like, it's so hard to bet against Invictus. Like, it's just, it's so difficult. Like,
do you really want to say, like, can you really say the words, like, Invictus lost in group stage and, like, really believe it? Like, it's hard to say that with conviction.
If you think Liquid get out of this group, it's because you think Invictus are playing at their floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so listen, what makes this interesting is we also have the MSI rematch, right? In this group. Like, we have a Liquid Invictus MSI rematch. And
I think that's going to be what matters.
Well, here's what's interesting, right? We said this, go ahead and listen to the old podcast, pull the records from it, because I know we said this. Invictus wasn't trolling MSI. Team Liquid straight up beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that wasn't disrespect. That wasn't anything. Like, Team Liquid beat them straight up. Full stop. That was with the tournament-winning roster. That was before they started clowning around with all this nonsense in the summer split.
Yep, and they were the best team in the tournament leading up to that match.
Yeah, they were the best team in the tournament, and Liquid straight up whooped on the former world champions. That's insane, right? It wasn't cheesing. So what's interesting to me is we saw Liquid beat Invictus at maybe not their literal best, but like in their top, 25% of outcomes, top 50% of outcomes, if you want to be generous. Like, we saw Liquid beat Invictus when they were good, is what I'm saying. But it's kind of interesting because we've seen such a low from Invictus going into this tournament that you got to kind of bake in the, okay, Invictus is being underrated because, like, you have to imagine they're going to exceed expectations, or you have to imagine they're going to exceed what they did in the summer. I can't bet against it. It's so difficult for me to bet against this team because they're going to be better than they were in summer. There's just no, like, I know it. And maybe they crash and burn, but, like, I'm not betting against that, right? So what you need to weigh is, are Invictus going to be consistent enough, and are they going to play at their top level, and is Liquid good enough to beat them? Because to me, this is Damwon and Invictus getting out of this group. And I feel bad for Team Liquid, because Team Liquid are clearly the best NA team. I think Liquid are one of the best NA teams to ever go to Worlds.
Yeah, it might be the best. They're right up there with being the best NA team of all time.
I know people want to talk shit, and they're unexciting, and they punted games or whatever, like, during the split. Like, this is... This, and I think, like, maybe TSM 2 years ago, like, 2017, TSM was really, really good, and they disappointed, but, like, people... I feel bad because, like, I'm prognosticating forward, and I know, like, a month from now, Team Liquid's going to be getting shit for months for not getting out of this group. But... So... I'll just put it to you guys. So who's getting out of this group?
It's Damwon and Invictus as the most likely for me.
Chris, who do you think's getting out of this group?
I think, yeah, IG, Damwon. I would probably... you know what? Same order. Damwon, IG.
So how close are Damwon and Team Liquid? And am I totally disrespecting AHQ here?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
We've known the LMS. The best they can provide is not nearly good enough, even if their second seed is like that far away from J Team.
We're gonna get about. To it in a little bit, but we'll talk about J Team because I've got some thoughts on them. But like, how close are Invictus and Team Liquid? Because to me, this is like legitimately like close to a 50-50. Like, I think it's like 55-45, and that's like me baking in the assumption that Invictus show up. You know, like.
Ooh. That's the, like, peak Invictus years?
Yeah, like, I think... because we saw it. Like, Liquid beat them. I don't think that was a fluke. Like, people are talking about how, like, they took the tournament off and all that. I don't think it was a fluke at all.
You can't call it a fluke because it was a best of five.
And they stomped them! Like, it was...
It was convincing win, yes. I didn't know what the mindset were of Invictus because coming into summer, they were still not themselves.
Yeah, but like MSI, they were like going into MSI, they were one of the favorites to win
true.
The tournament.
That's true. Going into that matchup,
yeah, you're right.
So like that's why I like wanted to frame it like going into this that like make no mistake, Liquid didn't beat Invictus when they were checked out. Like Liquid beat Invictus straight up, and to me that means a lot.
My issue is that I think that does mean a lot, but my issue is that we then saw Team Liquid. I don't want to say struggle necessarily, but they were not as convincing in North America as I wanted them to be at all. They lost a lot of various games to teams that I don't think they should have lost any games to. Like, I think if you're going on pure skill and talent, I think they should 3-0 Clutch Gaming, they should 3-0 Cloud9. I don't think those series should have been close, and both those series got... I never really thought Liquid was going to lose those series, but I don't see why they should lose games.
Too close for comfort.
Series. Kind of yeah. And so I'm definitely a little bit worried about Team Liquid.
So, like, how's your percentage split then? Like, so you think Damwon's definitely getting out of this group, right? In some way, shape, or form.
No, I think they're the most likely team.
Yeah. But so you think Damwon are... See, the interesting thing with Damwon is that, like, I actually think that... I think they definitely get out of this group. It's just a matter of whether they're one or two. Like, I could totally see them getting out of this as a two seed. Like, if Invictus show up, I think Invictus can beat Damwon, like...
I think any combination of Liquid, Invictus, and Damwon can get out, but I think the most likely combination is Damwon, Invictus, and the second most likely combination is Damwon, Team Liquid.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've got a little chat listener who said that Rookie was receiving family news right the days leading up to the TL. I don't know how much that affected them.
It could be relevant.
It could be.
Could be. So we're open-minded to that. But in all honesty, I think, like John said, I'm thinking Damwon Invictus is the most likely pair to come out of this group.
Yeah. It's way more interesting. When you actually sit down and break it down, this one's way more interesting than you think it is, right?
Yeah. It's a very good group.
Yeah. And so AHQ gets to play spoiler here, right?
Yeah, and they really do.
And I think AHQ were good enough to take, like, a game off somebody in a best of one. Like, they could think about... We saw play-ins just now. Obviously, the level's different, right? We saw play-ins just now, and this is a cheesable meta, right? Like, it's a whole nother side topic. It's... Because you can play a whole lot of stuff, you can get caught with your pants down in draft, but at the same time, like, because all the different regions have seen so many different things, you're kind of not surprising anyone, but you can still catch people with their pants down, right? HQ could totally mise a win here somewhere, even if they're not particularly great. I think HQ are definitely a step up from Hong Kong Attitude because I think they play a style that's conducive to upsets, right? Like, yeah. They're not... Like, Hong Kong Attitude are very linear,
And we've talked about how being an aggressive team is a key to upsetting people.
Yeah.
Like handshaking to late game can make it hard sometimes to beat teams that are better than you, because they'll just abuse you in the early game and snowball on you. And then even if you get late, they're just as talented as you are, or more talented in the late game.
I also think with this group in particular, and we're going to talk about this with Group B too, because I think Frostcure made a good point about it. But like in Group D in particular, I know people like to say Team Liquid are like a controlled late game team, but Team Liquid have a good early game when they want to. Right.
Yeah, they can play aggressively.
And Damwon and Invictus. Damwon's weird, but Invictus definitely an early game team. So if you're gonna play Handshake, you're gonna get punished in this group. Like,
yeah.
One, because the macro is good from all three of these teams, and two, because Invictus and Damwon and Liquid, if they want to play early game, can stomp you. So, I think HQ are kind of up against it, even though I think they're gonna be like they're not a bad team. I just think they're up against it a little bit in this group. Any other thoughts on Group D?
Nope, I think that's one of the most interesting groups to watch.
A, B, C, or D? Or A, B, or C?
Let's just go to C next.
All right, we'll go to C. We'll go reverse alphabetical. Group C. Group C, I think, the most interesting from a play perspective.
It's probably... I think I agree with people that say this might be the best group ever.
This like might be the best group
in world history. This might be the closest, most interesting group we've ever had.
Yeah, I'd have to like go back and look like all time, just like look at all the groups all time, because I think I don't remember who was in the group, but I remember back when oh my god, who was the Chinese team that came? LMQ. I remember when LMQ came to America and they were like the fourth team in that group. I remember I was like, that's gonna be good because they're gonna upset some people. Like I was confident of it, right?
Clutch was the perfect team to slot into this group. Like, we're so lucky that they were, like, basically force-slotted into this group.
Yeah.
Because they're the perfect team to slot into this group.
If Splice got into this group, there was not a chance in it. I don't think Splice wins a game in this group.
Probably not. And Clutch is the perfect team to just randomly pull out some shit and beat one of these teams that they're not supposed to beat and change the group up. So yeah. Clutch is perfect, I think.
Well, I think, yeah, it's...
Well, they can't slot Splice in there, Fnatic's in there.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, I'm saying, like, hypothetically. Hypothetically.
Wow, okay, you guys are really high on Clutch.
So
they have upset potential against these teams, where Splice, I don't think, does, just because of play style. Clutch can randomly eliminate somebody from this group.
They just need to win a game, they're going to eliminate someone, because the rest of these games... you might be right, because, I mean, really, this is three top eight teams in a group. Like, if I'm power ranking this tournament, going into this tournament, like, I think people are, like, kind of sleeping on RNG a little bit.
They're very good. This is, like I said, it's three top eight teams and probably the best upset team that you could throw in here, other than maybe, like, a Gigabyte Marines, but I think Clutch is even more interesting.
Hooney!
Yeah, and Hooney's been playing well, too, so that's kind of an added bonus. I know certain
casters... We'll forget about the first game where he just...
Certain casters would disagree, but we'll save that for another cast.
He's not playing. He's not respecting my money. I'll tell you that. my money is not respected by Hooney.
Nope. Group C. We didn't say it, but SK Telecom, Fnatic, We'll Never Give Up, and Clutch Gaming. This group is stacked, man. This is going to be fun. So we talked about going into this tournament how there's. I mean, I don't know if you guys consider it like, or I don't know if your mind has changed. Maybe your mind has changed. Going into this tournament, to me, there were three co-favorites to win the whole thing. And those are SK Telecom, G2, and FunPlus Phoenix, right?
That's exactly how I felt, yep.
I think they're all co-favorites. I think they're, like, the tier one, or the S tier. I think there's, like, an A-plus tier, or, like, the tier 1A that's, like, the rest of the top eight. And then I think, like, Liquid's kind of in their own thing besides that.
That's exactly how I feel. The next five teams are all together, and then Liquid is just a tier below them, but above everybody else.
Yeah, so, like, to me, it would not surprise me at all if the top eight any of the top eight teams beat each other. I include Fnatic in that top eight. I have Liquid ninth, but honestly, like, Liquid, it wouldn't surprise me if they beat some of these teams, too. Maybe a little bit, but, like, it really wouldn't surprise me that much if Liquid won some of these games, too. Like, so, really, we have a tournament favorite, two other top eight teams, and, like, a good upset team in Clutch Gaming.
Yep, perfect.
This group is fascinating. So I want to hear, like, so Chris, we'll go to Chris first. Like, who's getting out of this group? Why? And is there, like, a specific thing you've got your mind on?
Man, I who I want versus the likely outcome may not coincide. So let me walk through this idea. Yeah, we're still in Group C, right? Okay, we're still in Group C. I think SK Telecom, heavy favorites. They'll pull it out. They might randomly drop. Well, there's no random because all these teams are very good.
That's the whole thing with this group is that
and that leaves them very little margin of error. If they had played, if they were against Clutch the first game, I think I would have taken Clutch, but I don't think that's the case. Maybe, I don't know. SK Telecom is my most heavy favorite to come out of this group, and then I'm really stuck. This is fandom speaking. I am an RNG fan, but I think of current form and the understanding of the current patch, how it's played, and the ability to adapt, I give the edge to Fnatic. So those are my two.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So here's the thing. Like, I say wow, and I don't mean to be like emphasize that as a hot take or whatever, but you're like you said, like the teams are so good that this is legitimately hard. Because I think this is like a 40-40-20 situation.
Yes.
Maybe 45-45-10. I don't think Clutch gets out of this group.
No.
Yeah, I don't think Clutch almost ever gets out.
The problem is, like, I think, like, RNG and Fnatic, like, I don't know. Could be either. Like, this. I think, John, you've kind of written on this a lot, and I'm mostly in agreement with you. I think Fnatic are kind of coasting into this tournament underrated.
I definitely agree. They were my favorite bet of all the bets when I posted my favorite bets. Fnatic was my favorite bet coming
into
they were
your favorite futures, right? Because
they were considered like twice like as unlikely to win as Damwon or somebody like that. And I was like, there's no way Fnatic is
they're like the same likelihood.
Yeah. So I definitely think for me the two most likely teams to get out are SK Telecom and Fnatic. I think Royal's most likely to lose, but I think it's SK Telecom by far most likely to get out. Clutch most likely to not get out, and then any other combination between Fnatic and Royal would not surprise me. It's going to be bad.
It's weird. I know I said like basically Fnatic and RNG is a coin flip, but I'm giving a slight edge to Fnatic. And
me too.
And it's not because I'm thinking low on RNG. I just think Fnatic are more versatile than they are.
Yeah.
Like I think Fnatic has a better chance of beating SKT as well. Just like
really?
Style. I think they have a better chance of beating SKT.
You know what? Like, I'm thinking about that more. Like, I think I agree with that.
Yeah.
Fnatic, yeah. So a lot of this hinges on how much weight you put on, and this is kind of a side topic, so maybe we'll take a brief aside here. I think a lot of how you look at this group depends on your overall evaluation on the strength of Europe and the strength of the LPL. If you think... Because really, like, so I think common conception is that the LCK is being a little bit underrated because of last year, right? I'll put this to you guys, because I want to take some time to digest this and break it up into all its key components and everything, because I think it's important about our perceptions here. Do you guys think Korea is going to have the same problems they did last year, or do you think Korea has improved enough and figured out that they can't just do what they were doing? I'll put it to John first.
I think Korea's back. Like, I think these three teams, especially the three teams that they sent in particular, are very good teams. I will say, I think if they sent other teams, we would see those problems creep in. I think these are the three teams they wanted to send, the best three teams to send that have figured this out the best.
Chris,
so I'm not worried about these Koreans.
And that's like the TLDR version. Is Korea back?
We've been hammering on this the whole year that Korea is not dead. Are they back to their own form? I think I'm going to have to say they're not completely back to the fact that they deserve the benefit of a doubt, that they are the very best. But at the least, they're not falling behind. Their ability to adapt, their ability to show that they are still one of the better ones that can play League of Legends, I think that should at the least give them a lot of respect for and a lot of credit, but not to the same degree that I would say that they're back. But that's why I like SKT, because they are the best showing of LCK and what they can do.
I mean I've been on this train all year. You guys don't need to hear it from me. Like I'm on the Korea. I'm the Monte Cristo. Like I'm the conductor on the Korea is back train. I've been saying it since like February, right? You guys can confirm this. I've been like,
oh, yeah.
I watched the first 2 weeks. I was like, this is a different LCK. Not just because it's like younger and there's new talent or whatever, but like just the philosophy is different than it was. You see some of the old habits creeping in from time to time, but I think these three teams in particular, like John said, are the best representatives for the region.
Yeah.
So
the right teams to be here, and so I think they give Korea the best possible shot of winning this tournament of all the teams they could have sent.
Yeah. So that's Korea. Now we have Europe. Because I think, and this is kind of a more of a hot topic than I thought it would be, because there's a lot of people that are really, really down on just the Korean, like the European region in general. Like, I don't know why. There's a lot of people that are way up on. Obviously, LCS fans, Western fans are really high on Europe. G2's crazy good. Fnatic's crazy good. G2 is actually exceptionally good, but we'll talk about that. I think there's a lot of people that think maybe what we're seeing with Europe is possibly what happened with Korea last year, where it's just kind of assumed that they're good based on what we're seeing. And I mean, I don't give a lot of credit to Scrim Talk. This is another conversation we could have, but like, I don't give a lot of credit to Scrim Talk. G2 saying that they're getting stomped in scrims on stream by the Eastern teams. I don't know how much credit you guys give to this or not, but the reason I'm framing it this way is because whether you think Fnatic is actually this good or just look good because they're close to G2, it matters a lot on how you weigh G2. Really, it matters a lot how you weigh G2 and Fnatic and the rest of Europe. So I went to Chris first this last time. I'll go to you first this time, John. Who do you is Europe real? And two, how much weight do you put on the fact that Fnatic is close to and gets to play against G2 all the time?
I don't think the European region was as strong this year as they have been some other, or like other splits. I should say just summer split. I don't think that the European region was that strong compared to some other years, but I do think G2 and Fnatic are a clear cut above everybody else, and I thought they were both very, very good this year. I thought they were very versatile in draft. They could play a lot of different strategies. They both adapted well in like mid-game and mid-series. I think these two teams are very, very good, even if you don't think that Europe as a whole is that strong, which I would agree with.
So I'll put it to you, Chris. What do you think? Like, how much weight do you put on the fact that, like, in other words, are you buying G2 as one of the best teams in the world, or is it just that they're stomping on a bad region? Same with Fnatic.
I think we have enough data to show that G2 is not only good against European teams. At MSI, they perform pretty well. Not dominant, but pretty well. And it just shows what we've been talking about, their ability to problem solve mid game, which is something that we might be witnessing. I don't want to say for the first time, but very clearly how they look to adapt mid game. Whereas in the past, we've known like a certain style will carry you throughout the whole game from beginning to end. And Korean's been very, very disciplined about that. Whereas the LPL was a bit more chaotic and were willing to just really throw you off your game, if not overwhelm you with their speed. I see a combination where in G2 and Fnatic specifically. The whole region, I have to agree, they don't look dominant, but G2 and Fnatic themselves show discipline and the ability to play at a speed that everyone's just trying to catch up to. So yeah, I think G2 and Fnatic should until they show me that they can't keep up with that style, they should be the favorite to just for this tournament.
And I'll just do quick response, but like, what would you say to people that are like saying that G2 and Fnatic are overrated? Yes or no? Like, do you agree or disagree with that? Because I think that that's like the overarching question here.
I think that's really hard to call because there is widely variant ratings for these teams. Like, some people seem to be coming out and saying, like, G2, clear favorite, they won MSI. I don't think that's true. Mm-hmm. There's other people that are also saying, you know, oh, G2's so overrated. Like, they're not even that good. They're not anywhere near IG or SKT or whatever. And I don't think that's true either. I think we've discussed kind of how we felt about it, that there's a top tier that has G2, SKT, and FPX. And, like, saying that they're either clearly not in that tier or clearly better than that tier are both incorrect. I think the accurate statement is to say that that's the tier So it's hard to say whether they're overrated or underrated because people seem to be widely variant in how they rate them.
Chris, how do you feel about it? Like same deal? Just like quick response.
Yeah, same deal. I think John put it well, very well.
Yeah, cause I'm kind of... So I think there's just certain intangibles with... Really, to me, there's certain intangibles with the three top teams in this tournament. And you could expand this to the top eight. Like, to me, the top eight teams in this tournament, and Liquid to a certain extent too, so the top nine, I'll call it, because I think they're the nine teams that are the most likely to win this tournament. If you look at the top nine teams, all nine of them have a unique intangible that applies to them. Whether it's a unique pick, a unique style, a unique skill set. I'll just go through it like right now. Like G2 have absolutely, in my opinion, the most insane in-game problem solving I've ever seen. You can't teach that. Yep. You can teach adaptation to a certain point, but like their creativity is, to me, unmatched. I don't think we've ever seen a team like G2, and I think John, you'd agree with this.
Oh, definitely.
It's mind-boggling. It's really fun to watch. SKT have veteran experience, and in my opinion, just the top-to-bottom roster is absolutely bonkers. I don't think you're going to find better in this tournament, like, on paper. They just have the raw ability, like the players. FunPlus are... It's so weird to say this, but I think FunPlus's intangible is their decisiveness. We've called them the juggernaut all year, right? Like... They just steamroll through situations that they have no business steamrolling through. Liquid have unique picks and versatility. Fnatic have unique picks and versatility. And the experience of playing against G2, who are really weird and bizarre. RNG yeah. have Uzi, who's probably the best player to ever play the position. Right? And he's playing at a ridiculous level, like, coming into this tournament.
A lot of these teams, I would say, like you're saying, are the best team in the world at what they do, whatever their thing is that they do. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of up to the other teams. And then we have a few other teams that are the kinds of teams who are going to try to solve those problems. We have like four teams that are the best in the world at what they do, and then four teams that are very good at solving problems.
And you have one team that's like pretty versatile and kind of does everything, which is like SKT. That's why I rate SKT so highly, is because they have players.
I think G2 has the most all-around skill set of all the teams.
Mm.
I'd agree with
better chemistry.
But, yeah, like, I think teams like FPX, for the most part, are going to do what they do, mm-hmm. and they're the best at it, and it's going to be up to these other teams to try to figure out how to
beat that. Like, they're going to serve. You got to deal with it. Like, find a way to break serve, right?
And teams like Damwon and G2 are the teams for me that are going to be trying to figure out the other team's puzzles and exploit the puzzles.
It just makes for a really parity driven tournament. Like, it's fascinating because we've never had, and I said this going in, I know we're digressing big time, but like, this is the World Broadcast, we're gonna go long tonight, deal with it. I know we're digressing big time, but like, I think the most fascinating element of this year's tournament, and why I think it's probably, I know I say this every year, like, why I think it's the best Worlds ever, is there's actual parity in this tournament. Like, I legitimately think that any of these top nine teams could win the whole thing, and that includes Liquid. I think Liquid are the least likely. We discussed that. But, like, the fact that we have so many teams that are so good at so many different things, it's fascinating, and there's going to be a lot of, like, rock, paper, scissors. It's going to be so cool to see it unfold. And, like, I wish we had more games, honestly. I wish we had more games, like, a bigger sample size, because I could watch all of these teams play, like, all day, right?
You're going to find out the story of this tournament when it's over. It's in here somewhere. We're not sure what it is yet. But, like, last year, it was Invictus having this early game aggressive flowing style that people were not used to, and at the end of the tournament we were just like, wow, this aggressive flowing style worked so well, and we'd never seen it really. The story of what is in here somewhere, of what we're going to be talking about after this tournament, and there's a lot of different stories that could be based on who ends up winning. There's a lot of stories that are built in here and ready to go, and we're just not sure which story is going to get told.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I always use this analogy, and I get it from the great Sigmund Bloom, Football Guys.
Yeah,
great podcast,
Football Guys.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you know. So, great podcast. Been in business for a long time. But he uses the expression, and he gets it from UHF, which is a movie from the 80s, early 90s, not 80s. The expression of drinking from the fire hose, right?
Mm, yes.
And like John said, like, we're going to, like, we have all this prognostication. We have a whole year of data. We have all this stuff. and it could get thrown out. It could turn out exactly like we thought. We're not going to know until these games play out, and it's kind of, like I said, it's like drinking from the fire hose. Like, there's just so much information that's going to come in. We're going to get so many answers. We're probably going to draw wildly inconclusive, like, conclusions about it, right? And it's going to be really interesting, and I think, like, it's just super intriguing. Calvin has hopped in.
Ooh, he's Calvin. Alive.
Hey, guys, sorry.
You drunk?
Calvin, we hopped in. I'm not. So, Calvin, we talked a lot about the playing stage, recapping it. Any overarching thoughts on the playing stage? Because we'd spend a lot of time on it. Just real quick. Quick hitters, go.
You guys can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Clearly. Okay, perfect.
Playing stage was kind of wacky, to be honest with you, besides Damwon. I think Damwon was kind of a team that was the clear, like, favorite out of any team. Maybe, I guess, if you're an EU person, like Spice, but Spice really didn't show me anything, especially after... I mean, Spice, they really did. Breeze through play-ins, to be honest, besides today, obviously, but...
whole topic on its own.
There was a lot of teams that could have made it... A couple of teams that could have made it out, but overall, I mean, you would expect this type of play during play-ins, so...
Any players that surprise you, or impress you, or let you down?
There's a couple of players, to be honest with you. Bugax, who actually played well today. Yeah. I thought he carried so hard. The whole ULL squad played really well this entire tournament.
I would disagree, however.
I mean, they're great. I love them. Some of the... Actually, Artifact. Artifact was really good. The mid laner.
That was who I said, too.
He was really good. His Akali was insane. So that's basically it.
That's about all we have from play-in, basically. We just, like, kind of, like, broke that down for a half an hour. We did Group D. Who's getting out of Group D? Liquid, AHQ, Invictus, Damwon.
I said Invictus and Damwon.
Any respect for Liquid? That was, like, our consensus, but, like, we think Liquid's close. It's, like, 55-45. Because we don't know when Invictus is going to show up.
So what I was going to say is that there's a lot of rumors with who's going to start in the jungle position. But I think both Leon and Ning can handle... I think anyone in that group can handle any of the junglers. And when it comes down to crunch time, I think Invictus is a little bit more prepped up, especially after the season they've had. And they're going to come to the world stage, you know, as, in their eyes, probably as underdogs. And be like, yeah, oh, we have to prove someone again.
Absolutely.
Because everyone's talking about G2, Fnatic, and all these other teams, and, like, no one's really talking about IG. Like, oh, IG's not going to be this team. IG's not going to do this. So I think there's some fire under them.
A little bit of underdog mentality, right? Like, that's something we didn't. I'm glad you brought that up, Calvin, because that's something we didn't talk about. Like, there's definitely a bit of like an underdog mentality going on here, right? With Invictus, because everyone's like, oh, no, they looked like shit in summer. There's no way they repeat. But, like, I don't think people are respecting the fact that this team – I think this team more than any other – maybe SK Telecom does this. They just turn it on. Like, they're like a light switch. Like, I feel like when they want to be the best team in the world, they're the best team in the world. They just need to decide to do that. Like, when they're on, they're impressive.
I've said it before, but if you take that Snake series out of their match history, then people are definitely highly disrespecting them. The only thing that's there for you to be like, oh, they've lost it, they've completely lost it, they're terrible, is the Snake series. If you take that out, they're playing a bunch of subs, they still made the playoffs, they won the gauntlet. Like,
yeah, what else do you want from a team that's, like, playing basically an 8-man roster? Like,
other than that Snake series, I don't think there's a lot to hate on other than them losing the Snake series.
There's a lot of people, a lot of talk on... Not a lot of talk, but a couple of buddies and maybe a little bit more people are rooting for TL because of what happened in MSI. And I'm like, did you guys realize, like, what happened, like, prior to MSI with IG?
So, no. So, we talked about this. We broke this down just to, like, shortcut this a little bit. We talked about it. Like, Invictus wasn't going through any of that stuff at MSI. Like, they were playing the full lineup. They were straight up. Like, Liquid beat them fair and square. Like, I don't think they were cheesing or punting it in.
We talked about IG. If you remember MSI, the story now is that they choked, but they were dominating MSI up until that match against Team Liquid.
Yeah, like what's the? I always forget the expression. Like, we're it's like revisionist history right now, right? Where everyone's going back and writing off, like, Invictus. Oh, you know what? They were sandbagging. Oh, they were punting. So, like, Invictus was the full lineup. They were trying hard at that tournament. Like, they were the tournament favorite in that tournament.
They started, what, 8-0?
And
MSI, they were dominating.
And
everybody.
Liquid beat them straight up. I don't think they cheesed. I don't think they got, like, crazy out. Liquid just beat them fair and square. Like, I don't think there was particularly, like, Liquid didn't catch them off guard with anything. They were just good. So that's what, to me, that's what makes this group interesting, right? So, like, Calvin, the other thing is, too, we talked about, like, do you think AHQ get a game in this series or no? Or in this group? Is this an 06 or a 1-5?
I think it's 1-5.
Who are they taking a game from? God knows who.
Probably Invictus, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, we all said the same thing, page. By the way. We all said the same exact thing.
Oh, my gosh.
God, that's too funny. We were all like, yeah, it's probably Invictus, because Invictus, right?
Yeah, it has to be Invictus.
All right, so, like, percentage-wise, like, is Damwon definitely getting out to you, or is Damwon the 50-50 and Invictus is definitely getting out?
I think Damwon is definitely getting out.
The damn one's a favorite for you as well.
Yeah.
It was dangerous when we're all on the same page. So
like, percentage, like, Invictus and Liquid. Is it 50-50, 60-40, 75-25? What?
70-30.
Okay. All right.
IG.
Group C. That's what we're in the middle of breaking down. We kind of, like, digress a little bit. But Group C. So we have SK Telecom, Fnatic, RNG, Clutch. Super interesting group. We talked about the dynamics of this is three top eight teams and a good upset team in one group. That's wild. Who's getting out of Group C? Go.
This one's a hard one.
I'm like rapid fire getting you caught up in 5 minutes.
No, it's fine. G2, obviously.
Not G2, it's Group C. SKT, Group C? Fnatic, oh, RNG, Clutch.
Oh, sorry, my bad. SKT and... God. I had a feeling that you guys picked Fnatic, so I'm going to pick RNG in this one.
Are you just being contrarian here? Is this the DFS player coming out? Like,
No, not really. I just a lot of talks of Fnatic, and I really do like their drafts and their upside. And just, I think every lane is well put together. But the bias, I have a little bias towards RNG and, like, the LPL. But it's RNG. I mean, how can you not, like, have them, like,
the world's buff, the Uzi
favorite?
World's
exactly.
buff.
Exactly.
Dude, if Uzi gets a Worlds buff after playing as well as he played in playoffs, I don't know what the fucking AD carry
is anymore.
I was going
to say, this is another team that is, like, kind of just, like, slid under the
I think Fnatic and
table.
RNG are both flying under the radar.
Ooh, really? I feel like Fnatic are a little bit more hyped than RNG right now, but I think RNG has the right tools. Uzi's I feel like it's just something with the LPL. I don't know what it is, but I feel like just all three LPL representatives are going to be, like, coming into this tournament with something to prove.
I want
to
see the LPL versus LEC matchup too. Like, yeah, like, just like
stylistically, like,
it's going
to
be interesting.
Both of them are going to be banging hard together. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like face to face. SKT's throughout the playoffs and stuff like that, they look real good. And who knows? You know, I mean, they're going to get better. They're going to be better than anyone in the group. And, you know, they're going to be playing.
So, how many games? How many games? Clutch are going to take a game from someone or no?
I think they take one game out of Fnatic, and then after that they. I think RNG is 60-40.
Okay.
To get out between Fnatic and SKT is 100% to come out.
Got it. So the overarching picture for this group was we were talking about just the relative to, like, how much respect do you give Fnatic and the LEC in general, because that's a big part of, like, how much you weigh this, right, versus the LPL, right? Because if you think Fnatic are clearly better than the rest of Europe, which I think they were, and, like, you know, close to G2, how much do you rate, like, Europe? Like, are they just shit-stomping a bad region, or are they actually good, or is it some combination of both? Like, and then the same with the LPL. Like, are these top teams from the LPL just stomping a relatively weak region, or is it a strong region, and they're just good, best representatives? That's kind of what we were talking about, like when you jumped in. I think you heard the tail end of this. But, so I have SK Telecom and Fnatic getting out, but I legitimately think, like, Fnatic and RNG are, like, a tie. Like, it's a tie to me. Like, I think it's, like, I don't know. If SKTL come, definitely get out with like a 5-1 or a 6-0. I think it's going to be a 5-1, by the way. I don't think it'll be a 6-0 this time. I think Fnatic and RNG, it's like the other 90% of the pie is like, you know, 47.5, 47.5, and or it's like 49, 45.5 or whatever, and I can't do the math off my head, but and then like I think Clutch have like a 5% or less, right? So I think like slight edge to Fnatic just because I think they're a little more versatile than RNG is, but wouldn't surprise me either way. And you're caught up. Welcome.
Sorry.
It's Calvin T. At Rule R Sama.
Hi.
So we did Group C or Group D. We did Group C. We're going backwards alphabetical order. Let's go Group B next. The a lot of people are calling the easy group. So we have Fun Plus Phoenix, J Team from the LMS, GAM Esports. They are not Gigabyte Marines anymore. They are GAM Esports, and Splice. This group is like, this is interesting because I think this group's interesting mostly because the number two seed's going to be like really fascinating. Fun Plus are going to rule this group, right? Anybody, does anybody disagree with this?
Nope.
So what's the Fun Plus argument is, are they going to drop a game?
Yes.
I think probably. I think they're likely to drop a game. Yeah, I don't know to who. I have no idea to who. But I think they're likely to drop a game. Because just like the way they play, I don't know, maybe they're just so much better than these three teams that it doesn't matter.
I was really hoping that Damwon would end up in this group. Because
same. Big same.
The thing that's going to hurt this group for me is that it's going to make it so that when we get into the playoffs, there's one team in there that
doesn't deserve to be there. Yeah, I agree 100%.
Damwon got into this group, then them and Fun Plus could get out of this group. Team Liquid and Invictus could get out of Group D, and we could have 8 legitimate vying for the championship teams in the final.
It just means that the top 8 is going to exclude 2 of our top 9. We're prepared mentally for one of our top 9 teams. So Calvin, we've kind of discussed that there's a lot of parity in this tournament, that there's a, and maybe you disagree, I'll put it to you. Do you think that there's a clear top 3, or is it more of a top 2 for you, or is it more of like a top 8? Because I think John and I and Chris both think that there's like a consensus top 3 in some order between G2, SKT, and Fun Plus. But that we wouldn't be surprised if any of the top 8 teams beat them. But we also think Liquid is, like, right there in that conversation, but not quite as likely to win the whole thing as any of the other top 8.
I think we pretty much all have Liquid as exactly number 9.
Yeah, like, so Cal, do you agree, disagree? Is there any team that we're not giving, like, maybe you think J-Team or Gigabyte Marine, or GAM, sorry.
GAM.
Like, are we underrating those teams, or do you think that there's like a consensus top 8? Do you think there's a consensus top 3? Like, what are your thoughts? Like, just rapid fire power rankings, go. Like, you don't need to do specifically, right. But like, what's tier? Like, what's the S tier?
The S tier would be Fun Plus, G2, and SKT.
Okay, so you're in agreement with us that there's like a consensus top 3. Do you think like any of these other teams are in there?
I also feel like it wouldn't drop down too much. Between maybe like RNG for me. I want to say Griffin, maybe. I really want to say Griffin. I really do want to say Griffin so bad. But
that's
I don't
what
know.
We're saying. Like the top 8, like, would it surprise you if any of these teams beat like the top 3 teams? No, right? That's what's going to make Griffin this tournament so interesting is because we, I don't know. Like,
it just sucks that Group E, like, I don't know. I feel like the other two teams, J Team and Splice, are just stylistically and for that group is just kind of just dead.
bad, 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 bad.
As bad as VCS has been in macro wise and like stuff like that, you know, I feel like the Gigabyte Marines, you know, I'm not trying to be biased here. It's just that their lane swaps, their drafts are just wacky and, you know, they play hyper aggressive early game and, you know, I think it's just going to throw a team like Splice and J Team off, so.
I think something I wanted to bring up, kind of in the vein of like Fnatic and G2 relative to Europe, but like you can kind of bring it up in relation to GAM and the VCS, is this is, you could make an argument, like a reasonable argument, that this is like the New England Patriots syndrome, right? Which is, oh man, the Patriots are good every year. And then you have the counter argument to that is, oh man, they play in this easy division with two garbage teams every year, right? Guess what? Nobody thought it was going to happen again this year. It's happening again this year, right? Can you really fault the Gigabyte Marines for absolutely, I mean, for lack of better terms, just shit stomping their region. You can't. Like, there's
no.
Like, there's nothing.
All they can do.
All they can do is beat the team, like, just stomp the teams. Like, I don't know how much more convincingly you want this team to be than, like, two people lane, like role swapping, and they're doing lane swaps, and they're playing weird shit. Like, they're still 3-0-ing their finals and styling on people. Like, I don't know what else you can do. They're getting 40 kills in a game. Like, I don't know what else we can expect from this team, right? I think I tend to break ties in terms of regional strength, like, overall, because I think it, like, competition breeds superior product and all that. But I also can't fault GAM for just stomping their region. Like, I can't fault them for that, right? So, this is going to be interesting to me, because I want to see who you guys think gets out of this group, because in terms of predictions, this is maybe going to be the highest variance group. Because I think whoever you have at number two getting out of this group is going to be, like, what... This is going to be the bracket breaker, right? Like, if you got to pick the two teams to get out of every group, everyone's bracket's going to have, like, the same two out of most of these groups, give or take. Like, maybe it's 50-50. I think, like, it's legit pretty close to, like, a 33-33-33 for who's getting out of... in second place in this group. Because I legitimately think FunPlus are probably going to be 5-1 or 6-0 in this group. Just based on the quality of opponent. Who's number two? John, go.
Yeah, that's tough. The wild card team in this group for me is J Team. Because they were so strong in their region, but I don't have a lot of respect for their region this year. They're the biggest wild card for me of trying to decide whether or not they could get out of this group. Between GAM and Splice, I'm going to edge Splice. And reasonably so. So I think for me, it's either Splice or J Team, and I'm going to lean Splice. I think we're going to see Splice make that.
Isn't it interesting that J Team and GAM are like the same script?
Mm.
Like, kind of. So J Team went 12-0, and I don't want to underrate that, but like the LMS at least had some parity. Like, it's like the TCL. Like, the LMS and the TCL, the top like three or four teams were all pretty good this year, right? Same with the LCL. The LCL was like the top three teams were all pretty good, right? But these two teams, record-wise, far and away better in their region, right?
Yeah.
So in a way, you could look at this and be like, okay, like J Team shit stomped their region, GAM shit stomped their region. They're two wild cards, not in the sake that they're wild card region teams necessarily, but like, does that matter? Does it matter that they stomped their region? Like, we're looking at two teams that they've done all that they can do. You know, like, yeah. they've done everything they possibly can to convince us they're legit. It's just going to be a matter of, and unfortunately, we're probably only going to see 4 or 5 games from these teams, which is again a big picture. I'm going to talk about it in the sign off, but like that's a big picture concept I want to talk about, is don't draw all of your conclusions from 4 games or 5 games. But so you think Splice are getting out of this group?
Yes, but it's. Like, that, this is easily the hardest group for me to predict. It's actually even harder, I think, than Group C.
I do, too.
Because I think it's completely likely, like, reasonably likely, that J Team would just come out and smash everybody. It's reasonably likely that GAM would come out and smash everybody. Not FunPlus. They're going to beat people. But as far as the other three teams, it would not surprise me whatsoever if J Team turned out to be way better than Splice and GAM. It wouldn't surprise me that much if GAM turned out to be way better than J Team and Splice. And it wouldn't surprise me that much if Splice was way better than J Team and GAM.
It's super interesting because, like, Group C.
It's very hard to tell how they're going to match up.
Like, Group C, it's three very strong teams, like, three top eight teams. This group, it's like three of the teams that are, like, 10 through 14. Right?
Yeah. Mm hmm.
And the problem with those 10 through 14 teams is that they're inconsistent or they're extremely linear or they have niche problems, right? Which is going to make this really interesting.
It's easy to say all the things that we've said, so let me give an actual piece of analysis, because it's easy to just say, like, who knows what's going to happen. The reason that I edged Splice is I think that Splice is the most adaptable of those three teams.
I'd agree.
I think J-Team and GAM are more likely to essentially run set plays. They play very similar styles in a lot of their games, and I think they're more likely to come in here and say, let's do what we do, let's do it as well as we can, and I think Splice is the most of those three teams' ability. Like, they have the best ability to look at what the other two teams are doing and play around it.
I also think that, like, they get to practice against G2 and Fnatic, which is an element as well.
And that's what G2 and Fnatic are good at.
I also think that Splice get this bad rap for being a linear team, and sometimes they fall into it, just like Liquid does. But J Team and Gam, I don't want to say J Team are that linear, but Gam is definitely linear. They're gonna have one speed and that's it. Like they're in. Once you get them rolling in that go kart down the hill, that's what they do. Right. Like that's what's happening. Whatever happens from that point forward. So it's really just a matter of, do you bet on adaptation and versatility, or do you bet on strength from a linear standpoint? You're betting on adaptation and versatility. I tend to break that way too. I want to hear what Calvin and so Calvin, what do you think on this? Like who's going to be the number two seed and like why?
Like I said previously, I think the Marines are going to get out of here.
Is this bias? Is this favoritism, or is there like kind of that and a reason?
Just a little bit, but to be honest, like I don't know. It's just Splice is probably that team. I think it's like 60-40 with Splice. I don't think I'm not giving the LMS like enough credit. That's the reason why I lean the Marines over J Team as of now. With Splice. Splice can easily, they can easily punish the Marines, you know what I mean? I just don't know how Splice just can react to what the Marines can bring. And like I said, they are a little bit linear, you know what I mean? A little bit linear in their play style, like where they go down roller coaster, blah, 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 blah. But like, what film can Splice get from the Marines and like dissect and digest it within themselves when the Marines themselves are watching the entire play-ins and has maybe a little bit more footage of how Splice plays, because Splice is not like anything too special either. You know what I mean?
Splice is definitely exploitable. Like I agree with you there. Like I know I talk about like the VCS as like this. I mean, I'm not talking about like, it just is. It's an extremely undisciplined region. Like the macro play is terrible. It's just micro, 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 like, all the time. And I don't want to completely discredit that, because sometimes just, like, checking someone matters. I mean, how many times you see him, like, to me, the VCS is, like, a good example of, like, you see, I'm trying to think of, like, a movie example, but you see the dude that's, like, a hardened street fighter. I don't know, like, we'll bring, like, Kimbo Slice or some nonsense up, right? Think of the dude that's just, like, the hardened street fighter against, like, a dude that's bigger, stronger than him, right? Someone that's just got they are what they're good at, and they're just gonna punch you in the mouth, right? They don't care who you are, and it's weird. Going into this group, I was like, "There's no way Gam gets out of this group." Like I'm maybe a little low on J Team, and I think I'm leaning J Team to get out. But the more I think about this group, like over the course of today, I kind of think Gigabyte Marines are just gonna smash people, like. They're just going to punch them in the mouth. They're just going to punch them in the teeth. And I don't think that they're the best team in this group by any stretch of the imagination, but I actually think Gigabyte Marines is going to get out of this group. And I never, ever thought I would say that. Because, like, I have very, very little, for lack of better terms, I have very little respect for the VCS because they only know one element of the game. But I think in a best of one, this is part of the issue I have with the world's format, right, is we're going to get to see six games from these teams, right? I think it's reasonable, even going in and knowing what to expect from this team, I think it's totally reasonable Gigabyte Marines just win two games. Like, they win a game against J Team and a game against Splice strictly based on style alone, even if they're not the better team. And then from that point forward, they just need to take one more. Because I think this series could be decided. This could be, like, a triple tie. Like, I don't think it would surprise anyone to see, like, 3-3 and 3 teams, right? Maybe it would. Maybe we get a 3-3 and 4-2s or a 4-2. But, like, we might get, like, a triple tiebreaker from this group. It's kind of hard to tell, right? Chris, when you, so I think, in other words, what I'm saying is I was alarmed enough by what Splice showed me today to be concerned. Whereas before I had this as, like, a three-way heat, I kind of think it's, like, 35-35-30 now with J Team, Gam, and what's it called? So, what do you think, Chris?
Oh, the more I talk about this, it's difficult to figure out who the other team outside of FPX is coming out of this group. Just for a different reason than Group C, because these three teams just they're stylistically different. It really depends on who takes control of the game. And yeah, Gigamind, Marine, and Splice was probably most interesting. I wonder if I'm just completely disrespecting J Team by not even like giving them a chance at all. But this is hard. This is hard, man. I think I will default to Splice for the pure fact that I know I trust their coaching staff to figure things out. They have been sloppy. They've shown to be sloppy in the summer split, but they've also shown some growth through those struggles as well. And I think they might not have the easiest road. They might have to win a tiebreaker to get out of this group.
Who's the most likely team for FunPlus to lose to? Like, FunPlus drop a game here, if they drop a game.
GAM, probably.
That's to me, that's the tiebreaker in this group, right? I just think that, like, even if they're not the best team, because, I mean, objectively, I would look at these four teams, and I think GAM's the worst team in this group, but I just think that they're weird enough and bizarre enough, and until you've played against it, like, that's actually a factor, right? I had more games, but you know,
literally, it might be the toughest group to predict. Even though people are saying it's the easiest, like easiest group overall, and it probably is. It still, I think, is maybe the toughest one to predict who comes second.
Right. So gun to your head, John, you have FunPlus and Splice.
Yeah, I think it's. I think gun to my head, I have to say Splice.
Calvin.
GAM Esports.
FunPlus and GAM. Okay.
Yep.
Chris.
Splice.
FunPlus and Splice.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to disrespect J Team like that, because I do think they're a very legitimate chance of getting out of this group. But
yeah, and that's probably how we have the egg on our face when J Team like easily climbs.
I almost want to say J Team, because I think J Team and GAM are like legit close. Like, really, I think all these teams are pretty close, but I think like the tiebreak is between J Team and GAM for me. I'm gonna go GAM just because stylistically, I think it's just weird enough, and they're good and they're experienced, but. I don't know. Maybe I should just say J Team to be different. Anyway, I'll say Gigamind. I'll say GAM. I'm probably going to get egg on my face for that. I think it's GAM or J Team, but it's GAM, I think. And honestly, wouldn't surprise me if Splice got out either. Group A. Interesting in a weird way. So we have G2. I think the easiest group to predict, but don't tell Cloud9 fans that. So we have G2 Esports, Griffin, Cloud9, and Hong Kong Attitude in Group A. So I think there's less to discuss in this. There's less intricacies. I think all of us are, I don't want to say smart enough, because it's going to call the Cloud9 fans dumb, and I'm not doing that. But Cloud9 fans is like, oh man, we clutch through groups every year. I think we all agree it's G2 and Griffin. I think how I want to shape this conversation is, which Griffin, like, do we think Griffin's gonna be are Griffin gonna be a 4-2 team, a 5-1 team, a 6-0 team? Are G2 gonna be a 4-2, a 5-1, or 6-2? Is Hong Kong Attitude gonna win a single game in this group?
Hong Kong Attitude is the only team in the entire stage that I have going 0-6.
Yeah, I think Hong Kong Attitude are gonna go 0-6.
I still can't believe they made it. I honestly can't. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I think Hong Kong Attitude are gonna go 0-6 in this group, and I'm not even high on Cloud9. I think Cloud9's probably just gonna smash them.
I had G2 and Griffin splitting their games and G2 winning a tiebreaker.
Okay.
I believe it was my prediction.
That's probably about where I'd be. So 5-1-5-1, so is it 5-1-5-1-2-4-0-6, and then the tiebreaker goes to G2?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was how I had this group broken down.
That's exactly how I would have it. So, there's not too much to talk about for this one, but, like, I'll just frame it this way. Like, I think Griffin's the most interesting team in this group. Cloud9 fans would argue differently, obviously. Because Cloud9 are the upset kings. Cloud9 always clutch it out, guys. Like,
this is the worst Cloud9 squad we've seen. Ooh. Like, compared to the field, I think this is the worst Cloud9 we've seen pretty much ever.
Are we buying the Cloud9 clutch narrative, like clutch it out narrative? Because I mean, I've gone on record saying this a million times. I'm a broken record, and I wanted to talk about it more, like running shorter on time. But like, I don't want to say Cloud9 are lucky, because they were good. Like, every time they go to Worlds, they're good, and they overperform, because they do. They overperform. And there's something to be said for that. But I also think that they've had a little bit more luck on their side than people want to give credit for, especially Cloud9 fans. So I'm not talking shit on Cloud9. I just don't think they're going to be Gryffindor G2. That's all. It's best of one. Anything could happen. I'm going to hear all sorts of shit when Cloud9 manages to steal a game from one of these teams. And I'm going to be like, see, I told you. But Cloud9 are going 2-4. There, I'll say it.
Yeah, that I think they're going to go 2-4. Like I said, I think this is the worst iteration of Cloud9 that we've ever seen. Like, people forget the early years of Cloud9. They were like a legitimate semifinals, like we thought going into the tournament when it was Bulls and Meteos and they were and those guys and they were dominating NA. We thought like those guys were a legitimate, like could make a run type team, and they kind of underperformed back then. And then these middle iterations have overperformed a little bit. But this one, I think, is the worst version we've seen. I don't expect them to be competitive.
I think it's weird because I don't think this Cloud9 team is bad. Like, they're a good team. And I don't even think that, like, I don't even think this is necessarily, like, even the worst iteration. Because I think Niski's been a house, but, like,
I think Niski's bot lane. The team is the problem. Like, I think I think Svens Garen's a little overhyped this split. I think the bot lane's been pretty bad. And I think in the past, Licorice was one of the reasons. And I think Licorice used to be one of the reasons that they won a lot of their games, and he's been kind of silent. So they've got one really strong lane in mid, and he's going to be up against Caps and Chovy in those other matchups. Like, I don't know that Niski's – I have a lot of respect for Niski. I really rate him highly, and I don't think he's necessarily on the Chovy and Caps level.
I don't know if anyone's on the Chovy level, to be honest. That's a different story. So G2 and Griffin getting out in some combination, probably Griff, probably G2 first. Worth mentioning, we talked about it last week, but like Griffin dropped their coach, and they're rolling with their assistant coaches and the other coaching staff. So
I
worth noting.
Griffin come out ahead of G2 in this one.
That really? Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me, but that's like a tad of a hot take, right?
I kind of want to see like the old Griffin, where they weren't playing like, where they weren't, I don't know, like the old Griffin. I think what I saw, and I know you're gonna hate me for this. It's like, dude, they would just go in and just run up like the kills, smash teams.
I kind of want to see that from that. I want to see in group stage. I want to see that. I'm with you, Calvin. Like, I want to see the zero respect from Griffin.
Exactly. I just felt like they weren't holding back anything. Like they have so much upside. Like they were just like dominating teams when they came in. And I just felt like this past season it was just like maybe they turned it down a little bit. And then, you know, they were really clean, and they accelerated with the objective play. But, you know, it kind of like, I don't want to say it hurt them a little bit, but it's just, I just want to see them just go out and drop their coach and just start just playing, you know, loose again. Like, they just, like, they came up and just start smashing teams again.
I want to see, I want to see them unleashed a little bit. I think teams are a little bit too afraid to do that in group stage because, like, there's too much at stake, you know? Like, which is why you're going to see probably a more conservative approach, but if Griffin show up and they're like full swag status styling on people, I think Griffin are like suddenly like a favorite to win the tournament. And like I said this going into last week, I said to me Griffin and Invictus are like the biggest wild cards, and we're gonna know like within the first game or two if they're gonna be tournament contenders or not. Like, honestly, like if Invictus show up and we see it's Invictus and we're like, holy shit, okay, it's Worlds Invictus again, they're back. Like, Invictus is back. If we see Griffin come in and just, like, completely, like, out of character stomp somebody, like, if they just, like, whoop, if they, like, take a game off G2 convincingly, I'm going to be like, all right, Griffin's, like, an actual contender. Because to me, I have Griffin, like, of, like, that top eight, I have Griffin as, like, the fourth team. Like, I think Griffin are the most likely because I think their upside's the highest of, like, the remaining teams that aren't the top three.
And you could argue, I'll say, I have a lot of respect for their coach, but you could argue that a lot of their biggest underperformances were coaching related. Like,
yeah,
specific drafts and strategies they were using, like in spring finals against SKT is one of the biggest ones I bring up. You could argue that a lot of their strategy and drafting was where their biggest underperformances came from. So
we're going to find out pretty quickly.
Yep. Like, I think I agree.
And we talked about this a little bit last week with the news article and everything, but like, I think, I don't want to call CB Max a bad coach because clearly you're a good coach. If you brought a team of rookies into the LCK and just shit stomped the LCK, that matters. Like, that, we should not ignore that. But it doesn't mean that he couldn't be limiting people, you know? Like, even Bill Belichick's had issues, and you could make that argument here, right?
What if Bill Belichick was the coach of Griffin?
Dude,
Well, there would be no shit stomping.
All right, it would just be
a very, very disappointing team.
So we've run a little long. I'm just going to put the betting slate out there as this, because we only have lines for half these games, because a lot of the almost every book I check doesn't have lines for the play-in teams yet. So I'm just going to put this to you guys, and I want you to – I'll riff for a little bit, but I want you to look at the 4 days we have, just because I want to shorten this up a little bit. Because I think a lot of this stuff is more like bigger picture, like philosophical approach to things more than it is. And then you can do with, you know, what you like with the lines, right? I know we're like a picks podcast or whatever, but like we're going to leave that to you. Does anything stick out to you? Like, look at these – look at what we have so far. Does anything stick out to you?
And I can start this off because something just blows out to me.
Go for it.
Versus Invictus seems like a good bet. Like, I don't really care who the other team is. Like, the teams seem to have very good odds when playing against Invictus. And Invictus is, like, could just completely fall on their face this tournament.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they would just completely fail.
I think.
And even if they don't, even if they're, like, really good, like, they're still one of the most variant good teams of all time.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like that line.
I think versus Invictus and even versus Fun Plus seem like decent places to take shots.
I'm looking at that game versus Fun Plus on Tuesday.
Yeah, those teams seem like, when I'm looking through the list, they're the teams that have, like, negative 1,200, negative 1,000.
Dude, I wish Game Fun Plus played on Saturday. Like, I wanted that to be in the first day, because I would have raffle stomped Gam, like, in a second, because they're exactly the kind of... Gam and Fun Plus are, like, I don't want to call them the same team, because Fun Plus do have better macro, but, like, they're the two teams that, like, don't know a fight that they can't turn down. You know? Like, that's, they're going to look at each other and be like, I want to fight you. Like, they're going to walk into the bar. They're the two teams that walked into the bar. They're two complete badasses. They both had a couple beers. Somebody says some shit, and they're both, like, listening to each other's conversations, and they're just going to start a fight with one another.
That's so accurate.
Right? No, like, that's what I mean. Like, I wish that happened, because, unfortunately, I think they're going to get some film on, like, what Gam's showing and maybe some tendencies or something, but, like, that... I wish that was on day one, because that would have been like a 500-plus underdog that I would have slammed on day one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would have slammed it pretty hard.
I'm probably still going to bet it, just not like – it'll be like, you know, half a unit instead of
– I think
– we'll see. I mean, we'll see. The problem is, like, a lot of these things you got to, like, go now if you want to do it, because, like, if Fun Plus lose a game or two, suddenly this is going to be, like, minus 500.
Yeah.
So – I think
they'll end up betting HQ in their first game against Invictus.
That's reasonable. 550 is a lot.
And I don't have a ton of respect for HQ necessarily, but I just don't think anybody's plus 550 against Invictus. Like, Jinny or Green Wings might not be plus 550 against Invictus. Invictus always has a decent chance to lose a game, even when they're in peak form.
Something the fix is in. Right? That's...
Yep.
So... just real quick, I'll take a brief. I'll highlight the close matchups. There's like two of them. SKT minus 188, RNG plus 137.
Yeah,
I think I like SKT too much. But there's a total. We've been talking about how the top eight's crazy. Like, there's a lot of parity. This is like right on. This is like towing that line. Like, I want to say RNG here, but I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I kind of want to say like, take RNG at plus 137, but I don't think I will. I think SK Telecom's good enough.
How about the MSI rematch? Invictus minus 200 against Liquid 150.
One, I think the first day's games are going to say a lot. I don't think I'm betting that game until I see what happens with Invictus versus AHQ.
Okay. Liquid have the advantage of not playing game day one either, which is relevant.
No, aren't they playing down one Liquid?
Oh yeah, they are. I'm an idiot. They still have a line for it yet. Derp, never mind. I'm dumb. Forget that.
They're gonna get stomped.
G2 minus 150, Griffin plus 110.
I think this is one of the lines I would bet on, Griffin plus 110.
Okay.
First day at
G2.
I'll say, you were looking for overall trends. I think it's pretty clear from the picks of the week that are written down right now that we think that Fnatic is underrated.
Yeah, I think all of us think Fnatic's underrated.
Yeah. All these guys that we're looking at.
My favorite bet for futures was Fnatic, and the two people that have written down picks of the week both have Fnatic. So I think Fnatic generally written being a little underrated, I think.
Here's an actual interesting one that I think is relatively accurate. GAM plus 100, JT minus 138.
Yeah.
This one's actually like a good line, right? Like this, like JT should be favored.
I think you should get on it now before people are catching up to it.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm trying to, so JT play fun plus reasonable expectation of a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Their next game is this game. So they only play the one game.
And GAM will play Splice before then.
And they could reasonably beat Splice. So there's a chance this flip-flops and, like, suddenly GAM are the favorites by a little bit.
I want to say that I'd like to bet GAM here because I think J-Team, as dominant as they were, we're playing in a region that in general is kind of slower and more handshaky. And I think they're going to be most ill-prepared to deal with a hyper-aggressive style.
That's my thought on GAM. Like, and I said this in the breakdown for that group, is that I don't think GAM. I think GAM is actually the fourth best team in this group, like legitimately. I think they're the worst team in the group, but I think they're probably going to get out. It's just like the I hate it. It's they're Cloud Nine. They're just weird. They're just weird, and that's an intangible in best of ones. Like you have six games, and stylistically, I agree with you. Like J Team, I don't know, man. JT, I want to clarify. Like J Team, Hong Kong Attitude does not define the LMS.
No, they do not.
Hong Kong Attitude is way more conservative than the LMS is. That said, no one's as aggressive as GAM, and the LMS I think is a fair amount less aggressive than LPL as well.
Yeah, they're on the lighter. They're still on the lighter side of major regions, but they're not all Hong Kong Attitude.
Yeah, so that's probably. I'm just gonna write that down now. That's probably gonna be my pick of the week. God, it makes me sick. That's right. I'm betting on a shitty macro team. Deal with it, all right?
See, I think that's the struggle you're having it with the League of Legends lately. We know that certain style has been known to have success, but right now we just don't know if that's even enough to win in these best of ones.
It's interesting, too. Like we kind of talked about this going into the playing stage on the cast last week, that the interesting part about this tournament is that it's going to be a little, not like totally rock, paper, scissors, but I think matchup, and John brought this up, like matchups are going to define this tournament more than like individual, like the best teams are going to define it, right?
I agree.
And I think that's what's going to make this so interesting is seeing the styles match up. That's always like the most interesting part about Worlds, but I think it's amplified this year. Let's see. There's one other close line. So we have RNG minus 163, Fnatic plus 120. Any thoughts on this one, Fnatic?
It is a pick of the week for Chris, and I also believe Fnatic is the play here at plus 120.
Yeah, I think that's close to a 50-50. Totally reasonable to take Fnatic here. Thoughts on what I was just saying about like the stylistic, like rock, paper, scissors, and the parody and all that?
I'm telling you, we're going to see at the end of this tournament, there's going to be a story, and the story is going to be, is X style the best way to play League of Legends? Did we just miss it? And we don't know what X style is because we don't know who won. Whoever wins,
it's somewhere in that fire hose. I'm telling you, like that's
somewhere in there. There's the story that we're going to be hearing about. You know, if FunPlus wins, they're just going to be like, can you just, is this just the right way to play? And you can force it every game, and it's right. You know, if G2 wins, people are going to be saying, is this fluidity and this lane swapping and character swapping, is that the future of League? Like, no matter who wins, is this the future of League is going to be one of eight different things, depending on who wins, and none of us know what that's going to be.
Yeah, and it makes it super interesting. And
yeah.
I think we kind of saw that last year, right? Where
we began to see it last year, yeah.
Where, like, Korea, metagames can become inbred. Right.
Mm-hmm.
This has always been my concern with the VCS is that like if there's just a macro team in that region, like they're gonna teach all those other teams, but there isn't one. So like,
right.
And we saw it with Korea last year. Korea was an inbred meta game, and they weren't prepared for what Worlds brought out, and Korea was ill equipped to deal with it, regardless of how good the players were and the teams were. Right.
Correct.
So yeah, it's interesting. So I'm going to be on GAM plus 100 for pick of the week. Just to so last week, I had DFM plus 100 against Icarus. I picked the wrong game.
So close.
I should have picked the Splice one because they won that one.
John, I picked the wrong game every time. Yeah, DFS and everything, I was wrong like basically every time.
John was like flip-flopped on both sides of the score. So he had the first game, Hong Kong versus Loki, was off. Chris hit on Flamengo plus one, or Flamengo. I say Flamengo. Whoops, Flamengo plus 175 against Royal Youth. Good pick.
That was the only win they had.
Calvin, I'm not giving you credit because you weren't here. But Calvin was going to be on Mega versus Loki, which I also bet, and we profited on. But you get a push for that.
Definitely this week, units up a lot.
I'm going to be on Gigabyte Marines plus 100 against J Team. John.
I'm on Fnatic plus 200 against SK Telecom T1 in the opening game.
Day one is the day.
That's exactly why. I think SK Telecom is better than Fnatic, but I think they win this one.
Chris, Fnatic plus 120 against RNG?
Yes, I'm taking that one because I don't think RNG are adapting well.
Okay. Calvin.
Griffin plus 110 versus G2.
I like that one too. That was going to be my second one.
I like that one. Yep.
Gives me more.
Should we run through these props real quick? Because I kind of like this.
Yeah. So in lieu of a sign off, I have like an overarching like just go get them kind of sign off topic that'll be like real short and sweet, like 15 seconds. But I wanted to do like some cast proposition bets. I'm not going to put odds on any of this. I just want everyone to pick. It's just going to be like a pick 'em, right? Who's going to be the surprise player for this tournament? Or I called it a dark horse. Or like, who's a player that's going to surprise? Anybody Whippo. Can jump in on it.
Whippo. That's my pick for the tournament.
All right, why Whippo?
He's getting shit on by everybody coming into this tournament. And I think he's one of those feast or famine players, and everyone's treating him like he just hard feeds all the time. Like, all the things I read about him are like, he's the weakness of Fnatic. They got to get a new top laner. I think he's feast or famine, and I think he's going to feast. I'm going with Whippo as my guy to overperform what people think for him.
Anybody else?
This is a really hard question.
There's so many to pick from. There's so many great players here.
You know what? I want to see Teddy. I am really wanting to see Teddy, that he's finally getting his due. He's finally made it to Worlds. And this is it for him. He's going to lead the SKT to the promised land. He's going to be the one that defines SKT more than Faker, even though the story wants to focus on Faker.
I'm going to go... I like that line. I'm going to go... This is kind of a weird one, because I don't know how much of a dark horse it is. I think it kind of is relative to expectations, I guess. I'm going to go with Chovy. I think Chovy is arguably the best player at this tournament. I think he has to be in that conversation, regardless of the results he's gotten. And I think there's a chance we get to see him elevate on this stage. And look at any number of metrics. Look at his performance. Look at the amount of champions he plays. Chovy is a beast. For my money, he's the best mid laner in the world, and that includes Faker and Doinby and Rookie. And he's a machine. It's ridiculous. He's nuts. I don't know if he's the literal best player in this tournament, but I think he should be in that conversation, and he's not right now. So I'm gonna go with Chovy as, I don't know if you could call him a dark horse, but I think I'll call him player to surprise, because I think people are. Don't realize just how good he is.
Yes, he has tough competition, so I agree. I like it.
Yeah.
My dark horse, I guess, since no one's really talking about him, is Karsa from RNG.
That's a good one too.
I really like Karsa. I think we're all high on him, but I'm super high on Karsa. I honestly think he's the best jungler in the world. He's always on point. His passing is always great. Dude, he's helped RNG this past split, like,
he's carried
so many games
so hard, man. I'm besides playoffs, I'm convinced Karsa's carried that team this entire calendar
100%. Like
besides summer playoffs specifically, where Uzi stepped up, like, he's been outstanding.
Yeah, so Karsa is definitely my dark horse of the entire tournament.
Yeah, I think like Karsa, Jankos, and oh my god, Griffin, holy shit,
Tarzan.
Yeah, Tarzan. I think three of them, there's a reasonable argument for all three of them as the best players in the world, just because I think jungle matters so much. And I think they're the three best players in the position, like, bar none. Like, I don't think it's particularly close. I think the three of them are so much better than everybody else that it's impressive. That was
biggest disappointment.
Right? Yeah. Oh yeah, let's do disappointment. this could be a player. This could be a team. This could be relative to perception. This could be maybe like a meta thing. Like it's carte blanche here. Like take your pick. Like whatever this would be. I'll like open up the thought. I kind of think the biggest disappointment this series, and this is kind of like meta, so bear with me here. Okay. I think Team Liquid is going to be the biggest disappointment at this tournament. And it's not because I think they're bad. It's just because I think there's a narrative in place that they choke. And I hope I'm wrong about this because I think – I don't want to say this because I like Liquid. And I think they're – I look at the group that they're in. And I can totally see Damwon and Invictus getting out, and I can totally see the narrative like hours later on Reddit saying Liquid choked again, blah, 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 blah. Cloud9 are going to – Griffin's going to get sick, and they're going to have to play like emergency subs, and Cloud9's going to get out of Group A, and then all the Cloud9 fans are going to be pouring out of the Woburg saying, see, I told you, they clutched it out, man.
Yeah.
But I'll say Liquid, and then if I had to pick like a player – This is going to be unpopular. This is going to be wildly unpopular. I'm going to say Doinb. Not because I want to, but because I think FunPlus is... I think of those top three, I think FunPlus are the most exploitable of the top three, and they're the most linear. And I think when FunPlus lose, it's because Doinb is losing. So there's a chance that if FunPlus drop a game or two and they look bad... or they drop a series to someone, it's going to be because Doinb loses, or Doinb does something dumb. And Doinb's the guy, he's like Jizuke on Vitality. When Vitality loses, it's because when Vitality is losing, he's trying to make plays that look worse than they actually are, even though they're correct to get back into a game. Doinb's exactly that kind of player, where it could start to look really bad if they start losing. So, and I think a lot of people are hype on him. I love Doinb, but I think he's the kind of guy that could look worse than he actually is, you know.
I'm gonna go with Royal Never Give Up as my biggest disappointment. I think there's a very reasonable chance that they just look completely outclassed in Group C, even though we talked about how close that group is, and I do think it is, but I think it's like a 50-50. There's like a 50% chance that they're really close with Fnatic and it becomes a battle, and a 50% chance that they just look completely outclassed by SK Telecom and Fnatic. I think
they're the most linear team in the top nine. And that was weird to say with FunPlus and Liquid there, but...
I think you're at a significant disadvantage right now to have a pure AD carry. I don't think right now is the right time to have a pure AD carry who just always plays AD carries. I think this is the worst time to have, even if you have a superstar, that's the only thing that's keeping them alive is that Uzi is so good at being a pure AD carry. But I think it's a really bad time to have a guy that's only ever going to pick AD carries in your bot lane. And there's some chance that the rest of their map just gets destroyed other than like Karsa and the bot lane and that Uzi can't do anything. I just don't think this is a good meta to have a pure AD carry.
On the same, like, just to ask a follow up to you, John, would it surprise you at all if Uzi just overcomes all the adversity because he's Uzi?
No, and that's why
exactly.
But that's what they need him to do in order for them to be competitive.
And that's an unrealistic expectation.
I think they need him to be like overcome a big piece of adversity for them to be competitive. And if he does, then they're competitive. But
he needs to be like 120 out of 100.
I really think this is a bad time to be an AD carry player in general. And he's like one of the only 100% pure AD carries. I mean, even Reckless is busting out all kinds of weird shit in the ball lane. And he was a guy that was considered a pure AD carry for a lot of his life, you know? Mm-hmm. So
I like that pick. That's a good one. So you see the RNG in general and Uzi as your two?
Yeah, are the biggest
ones that stick out?
Disappointment. And it's kind of very similar to your thing with Team Liquid in that it's going to suck because Uzi also has the reputation of being like a guy that never wins in the big moments. And I don't think it's really necessarily his fault if they don't here, but that's what the narrative might continue to be the same way as you with Liquid. I agree with you. Liquid not getting out of this group does not make Liquid choke artists. But that is what the narrative will be if they don't get out of this group. Is all they choke again.
Calvin. I'm losing track of things.
Yeah,
go for it.
Justin? No, okay. So honestly, outside of people, teams not making out of their group. I think once we head into the actual top eight, to be honest, I would say Invictus would be my biggest disappointment.
Totally reasonable as well.
Unfortunately, because as much as I want to just bash IG's Winning Worlds on Twitter, I don't know what they're going to bring. You know what I mean? I feel like their group is, I don't say set in stone, and I'm pretty sure it is. So I shouldn't overthink that. But I feel like once they get out of it, it's just going to be, it might just go downhill from there. You know, I don't know how Ning's going to play. Ning's was definitely it had to be his attitude problem throughout the entire split. So I don't know if like they changed it or not. You know, Rookie had an underperforming season. Jackie Love. Battleland was up and down. You know, the only stable person of that team was the Shy. And it's going to be really upsetting to see this team, you know, not perform well after, you know, being world champions last year. So there's just a lot of better, you know, there are a lot of good teams. Yeah. So I guess the player on that team would just be Rookie, because, I mean, it's Rookie. I mean, he's the sole leader of the team. You know, if he's not playing well and if Ning's not helping him out, you know, I think that's just really it, to be honest. There's a lot of really good mid laners as well in this tournament. And it's unfortunate that I don't think I could put Rookie in the top four.
No, Rookie is definitely in the top four, dude. You're out of your mind.
Right now? I don't think so. I mean, no, I don't think so. Not in this tournament.
I think right now, if you look at this tournament right now, I think the best mid laners in this tournament are probably Caps.
Faker.
Chovy. Caps. In no particular Doinbi. Order. Caps, Chovy, Rookie.
Doinbi.
Faker. Showmaker.
Oof.
Who I think people are forgetting about. Like,
we're top four. We're saying four. The top four.
If I had to pick a top four, just because
you have to pick top four
in no order.
This is no order. This is all right. This might be like my hottest take of the whole podcast. I don't think Faker's in the top four.
I think you might be right. I don't think he's been.
I think Faker is the best player to ever play this game. I think he's actually playing super well right now too. I just think Chovy, Rookie, Showmaker,
Doin.
Rookie, yeah, like, who's they? Chovy, Showmaker, Rookie.
Caps.
And Caps are playing at such an obscene level that, like, it's not a problem to be next to that. You know, like, and I think that's kind of the case right now.
I don't think Rookie is in the top four for me.
That's
fair.
Okay, all right. Chris, disappointment, letdown?
You guys took all the first two that jumped into my mind was either RNG, which I'm a fan of, but I don't think they're fitting in this. And John laid it out really well. It's that style where they want trying to play around ADC. It's not going to be the one that's going to win you this tournament, I don't think. And TL was the other one that came to mind because this is the best TL I've seen. This is the team that was made for Worlds and they dominated their region while also being able to play in the internationally. Competitively in the international stage. So it comes down to this team that I will pick that will be a high disappointment for me. It's Griffin. I can't project them to win this world. And it's unfortunate, but at the same time, this is not the Griffin that I saw last year. We're likely seeing Doran. I don't think Sword is even on a team anymore.
Oh, so no, they're bringing Sword to the tournament.
They were bringing Sword, okay.
Yeah, they brought Sword to the tournament.
Okay, so Griffin has a parallel narrative to IG, which we don't know which version we're getting, seeing how they ended the summer split. But they don't operate as that single cell brain cell unit that they were in 2018, which is unfortunate because I would rather have that version right now. And if they can show me that version, great. I can put them in competitiveness. I just still don't think that they'll get past quarters, maybe.
Griffin?
It's Griffin. And the player that I'll be highly disappointed in is probably Nuguri.
I was actually going to say him just because he's like the most Feast or Famine player. Like, I love him in this tournament. So
Nuguri. It's, yeah. So I don't even need to go too much into detail.
So Nuguri is going to be interesting because I want to bring the next question up. One, it's really fascinating because you could say anything here. Like, there's so many angles because of the parity in this tournament, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
all of these make sense. Like, I could see all these happening, right? MVP of the tournament. I don't want to say... I guess we could do a twofold answer. MVP that you think is actually going to be the Riot MVP versus your MVP, like who's going to be the best player in this tournament, John.
The Riot MVP is going to be Caps, but the real MVP is going to be Mickey X, and they're just going to give it to Caps because Caps is Caps, and everyone's been hyping him up. But I don't think Caps has been nearly the best player on this team in the summer split.
I think Yanko has been the best player on the team.
I think Yanko
and Mickey are ridiculous.
And Wonder. Yeah. I think Wonder. Well, I actually think Caps and Perks are the two weakest players on this team relative to their opponents. I think Mickey, Wonder, and Yankos are the three best. And so I think Mickey is going to carry the finals against Effort in particular. I think Mickey is going to hard outperform Effort in the finals, but they're going to give the MVP to Caps because he beat Faker and overcame it all. But really, it was Mickey down there against Effort that really got it done.
I love this narrative. That's good. I agree with you, by the way, because I think Mickey and Yankos cover up for so many of the, I don't want to say mistakes, but like so much of the arrogance that this team has. But they also kind of have their own swagger to themselves. You know, it's like
they're
weird.
They're always in the right positions, always making sure that if Caps wants to take a fight in the mid lane, he always has a supporter, a jungler near him that can help out. Like, they're always in the right spots.
I said this going into this tournament. I think Yankos has probably been the best player in the world this year. And I said last year, and like I kind of, or not last year, last cast, but like, I think if I had to pick an MVP of the tournament, my personal MVP, it would probably be Yankos. If I had to do, like, the narrative, like, the Riot MVP, I'm going to go away from the two, like, the favorite teams. I'm going to go kind of outside the box here. I'm going to go ahead and say it's Nuguri, because I think if we see a run from any of these other teams, it's going to be through him or, like, one of these exceptional players on one of these other teams, whether it's the Shy. I think, like, Nuguri or the Shy. I think Shy is better, but like if Invictus end up winning this tournament, it's going to be because the Shy is insane.
Yeah.
Like, so I think like if you're going to pick, like that's like a reasonable line to take on this kind of thing too. I'll say Nuguri just for the sake of like entertainment value, or Chovy, because I think Chovy's somehow underrated, which is bonkers to me. Kevin, what do you think? Your personal MVP, and who do you think the Riot MVP will be?
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna go with the Riot MVP. Aside from, I was gonna say G2, but
I was just gonna say Faker. By the way, that's the easy answer for Riot, but
For Riot, I feel like Faker is like the easy one, right? That's such a cop out, though.
Right? No, that's what I mean. It's like...
I want to say Faker. You know what? If Group C, if Fnatic gets out of Group C, I will want to say Reckless as my Riot MVP.
That's reasonable because that'll mean he's stood up to Teddy and Uzi. That's actually a cool line. I like that too.
Yeah, and then you know, let's say what G2 Fnatic finals and Reckless just gets their revenge against G2. You know how sick that would be.
That would be the dankest timeline.
Yeah, that would be like a hell of a timeline.
Unreal. Like that'd be sick. So I have Reckless as the Riot, and for my personal MVP, this is hard too. I'm just, you know what, for my personal MVP, I'm like Doing B has been my boy all year. I love his hype. I love his energy, and you know, I just, out of all the mid laners, you know, I just really want him to do the best.
He's the heart. He's also the heart and soul of FunPlus too. So
exactly.
If you think FunPlus is, I kind of noticed that. Like none of us, like we all think FunPlus is like one of these elite teams, but like we haven't really talked too much about them. But like they're kind of the steamroller. Like if they get momentum, it's going to be Doing B, right? We've all talked about how Gimgoon and Tien have like overperformed this year, and that's a big part of the reason why they've done so well. But like, if FunPlus win, it's because Doing B's doing well. Period. Right?
Yep.
Like, whether it's leadership, calls, whatever, like, that's why it's happening. So,
yeah.
I said in my article, I don't think it's possible for him to underperform in Fun Plus to win the tournament. Like, they win the tournament.
No. Right.
They win the tournament when, at the end of the tournament, everyone says, wow, Doinby's the best mid laner in the world. That's when they win the tournament. That might not be true, but when that's the consensus,
that's
is when
what people
they
are going to be saying. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like when they win the tournament.
Chris, what about you? MVP of the tournament.
This is tough. Riot MVP, likely gonna go chalk option. It's Caps because he's popular, he's fun, whatnot. It's a matter of a popularity contest with it. We're talking right.
Truth.
Personal MVP, and before I even get there, when we're talking, if ever were to go Fnatic, which I even thought about, I would pick Broxa over Reckless. He's been better this year.
Broxa's been nuts.
I like that a lot too.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
But personal MVP, I think I would have to agree with Calvin. It's Doinby for me. He's the team. I love LWX. I think he and Doinby work well, but it's Doinby.
I kind of think Hilly is a reasonable nomination for Fnatic, too. You make an argument that Hilly's, like, the second best support in this entire tournament? Like, who are the best supports in this tournament to you?
Mickey X...
I think Mickey's the best. I think Mickey's the best.
Baolan is up there. I don't know where to slot him in yet. Core JJ is one of those.
Also exceptional.
Yeah, I feel like I like Core JJ a lot. That's a good one.
I think Hilly's right there with them though.
Yeah. Can't say I disagree.
I would say Ming too.
Yeah,
Ming's good. Yeah. I don't know about top three, but maybe top five.
All right, so that's our MVPs. We're gonna skip a sign off, but I just wanted to do like just a general sign up here. I mentioned the drinking from the fire hose earlier as a what do they call that analogy, right?
Mm-hmm.
As an analogy, it really is. I want everyone, for no matter what happens, put all the shit aside, put your prognostication aside, watch the games. Hopefully, it's high quality. Just enjoy it, man. Like, this is the best. Like, we've been looking forward to this all year, and this is one of the best tournament layouts I've ever. Like, this specific set of teams is going to be captivating to me. Like, I'm so excited for this. Honestly, like, part of the reason I was dumping on the playing stage is because, like, the level of play has been pretty bad, and it's still been kind of entertaining. It's been entertaining and exciting to watch. I'm so looking forward to this. Just enjoy it. Don't get butthurt. Don't get bent. Regardless of whether you lose money on it betting or not, like, it doesn't matter. Enjoy it. Like, this is a treasure. The fact that we get to sit here and enjoy this stuff and watch this, and we're going to get to see this metagame, these teams, the level of creativity, the different styles matching up, it's going to be super exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. I hope you guys feel the same way. Any closing thoughts?
Dope, I'm ready to go.
Yep. You gave me chills with that speech.
That's it. Just enjoy it. Everybody have fun. Saturday morning, I'll be live and active on Twitter for sure. Everybody enjoy Worlds. We're going to get on out of here. I know this was long, but this is the World Championships. We're going to run long. Everybody have a good time. Best of luck.
The Gold Card Podcast opening theme is Clouds by Harvey and the Hendersons. The closing theme is Wasp in a Hat by the Tea Club. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Podbean to never miss an episode.